unfortunately, it is the end of an era for many longtime Detroit radio listeners.
End of a long time standing show in broadcast history here in Detroit.
You're fired.
Been on the air for more than 22 years.
You're fired.
The last 22 years have been nothing but pure fun.
You're fired.
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 I'm back.
So, do we say this?
Good grief.
Well, yeah, baby.
Welcome back.
I know.
It's a tough life being a Cub fan.
Welcome back.
Hey, I heard you missed us. We're back.
Hey. Welcome back.
Oh, would you look at that.
Welcome back.
Drew? Back, guys, back. Where's Drew? Back, Drew?
My God.
God, how much music do they have to play? It's their first podcast. We're waiting for Mike Clark to get here.
Oh, bullshit. I've been here.
What is the longest the music ever went? We did complete the music, didn't we?
Oh, many times. Many times.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we've had fun so far without you people because we've been hanging out for the last hour or so.
Yeah, we have. We've been having a great time. Finally, we said we better get moving with this thing.
Yeah.
We'll see the sunrise if we keep on.
What is going on here? We're doing a podcast? What is this, the incredible shrinking radio career?
Yeah, I know. But everybody's doing it. We have to do it like everybody else does it.
No, I'm really excited about it.
I love it. It's cool. There's no contracts. There's no bosses, you know?
No FCC.
No FCC. And as a matter of fact, if you don't believe that, just like I think in the past, I had to do this, in case there's any doubt whatsoever, we have to, I think, start with the seven words and the fact that we can get away with them. And they would be shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits.
How do they settle on those seven?
I don't know. And they seem so lame these days, don't they?
You know, when
I mean, piss?
Well,
tits?
If cocksucker, is it cocksucker?
Cocksucker, yeah.
So cock is okay.
Apparently.
I don't think so.
You know, if it's a rooster you're talking about. but I've not, you know, to this day, tits never did make it. I mean, to this day, all these...
Wait, tits is one of the seven?
Yeah, it's one of the last one of the seven.
I know, you could never say titty bar on the air. I always thought that was ridiculous. The boob bar, the gentleman's club. No, it's a titty bar.
I know, and tits just seems so boring anymore. How can tits be just... and piss? Everybody says piss. Cunt, that's pretty strong.
That's one of the seven.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's one
that word really, there's no place for that word.
Yeah, to this
that word's not safe anywhere.
I'll tell you, though, more women are saying cunt these days.
I know.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of like it. The Brits use that word a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they always have.
And it can mean a guy, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems to be, anyway.
Yeah.
All those bios I read.
Yeah, Todger. And the Brits are the ones that started the hot rear action, HRA, as you recall.
Is that a British thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I brought the tabloids back. That's right. And HRA was frequently a reference to rear action.
Everybody thought it was a hot rod association. No. Hot rear action. No, absolutely not. And by the way, I suppose we should start off, too, Drew, by saying that as a tribute to Prince, the awesome Prince, we should go on to say, dearly beloved, we are gathered here today in this podcast, our very first, to get through this thing called life.
Yes.
Prince. How's that to
Is
bring
that a prayer,
opening
down? Prayer?
Sound like it.
Very good.
I think you started off...
I love that song.
Purple Rain with that, I think. I think.
Yeah, I did want to talk about the podcast because, you know, we started talking about doing something when my thing blew up at 105.1. We were talking about some terrestrial, and it was obvious if it was going to be terrestrial, regular radio, it would have to be the morning. And I could tell that you were kind of, you just didn't quite, it's like, I don't know about that. And it's funny, I had this, well, I thought my mojo, I just thought like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't feel it. And I was pushing myself to, no, you got to do terrestrial radio. You're done with this job. You have to get another one. It's like, when a job ends, you get another job, right? I mean, yeah. That's sort of what you think.
It's usually the way it goes.
And yeah, for normal people.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of kept pushing along those lines, and we were talking to some people. And somewhere along the line, became very apparent to me, you know, both my parents are 95, and they're both having some struggles right now, especially my dad. He's got this kind of dementia. I hate to even bring this up, but it involves violent hallucinations.
God, man.
I know. Can you imagine that?
Like, dementia isn't bad enough. You got to add that to it.
And then, exactly, my mom has dementia, but it's not bad. My mom actually is getting along pretty well. She's over at Fox Run, and she's pretty happy. But, you know, she needs attention.
Yeah, care, yeah.
And, you know, she can't, her annuity, for example, the bank wrote a letter, we need proof that you're alive. We're going to keep sending you $1,100 a month.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, and she has no driver's license.
Are they trying to catch her in the courtyard or something? She's still alive. Yeah, there she is.
No, that wouldn't be good enough. A picture would not suffice.
Oh,
so
I see.
As her power of attorney,
yeah,
I had to prove I was alive and tell them that she's alive. So they'll keep sending me $1,100. And by the end of the day, I thought, you know, isn't it quite obvious that there's a real hole in this one? Because if she wasn't alive, they're just depending on me. I could scam that $1,100 a month for the rest of my life.
Yeah, right.
Well, until she's 140, I guess. Yeah, it'd be pretty obvious.
Yeah.
So anyway, with my parents both being ill, my dad got a concussion in February. He fell.
Oh, brother. They always fall.
And he's not quite come out of this thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's sort of a... I've been back and forth to St. Louis a couple times, and I want to go back in June probably.
Yeah.
And I just started thinking, you know, I'm going to need clumps of time where I just need to take off.
Yeah.
And then the obvious is certainly could possibly happen at some point. I just didn't feel right about taking a 9-to-5 Monday through Friday job. It just seemed like, you know, if I don't have to do that, it seems like this is a good time to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I could tell you were leaning the same way, although you seem to have a little less commitment to anything than I did.
Yeah, you might say that. Yeah.
Mike has committed to 2 podcasts a week.
Yeah. I've really jumped in the swimming pool, haven't I?
That was pretty funny when you said...
I jumped in both feet.
When you said, I'll do 2, I was like, okay, I guess I was prepared for that.
Yeah, I'm a slow starter. I believe in long foreplay, you know.
Well, it seemed like the answer was going to be 0 there for a while.
Yeah, I know.
So 2 seemed like a lot.
I think so. I thought so then. I think so now. In fact, it might be too much.
I thought about it? Well, it's funny
out of me right now.
I sent Mike a text, and I said, Mike, it looks like we're going to record the first podcast at 5 o'clock. And Mike writes back, well, isn't that during, I have to come over during rush hour traffic.
God, am I a whiner? It's like, I didn't realize I'm such a whiner.
Rush hour traffic?
God.
From Losser to Coolidge?
Well, I didn't think of it as a lot. I was thinking of coming down Woodward all the way, and then I'm thinking 5 o'clock Woodward, you know.
It's a little.
Yeah, you know.
It could be cleaner.
Well, in the summer, you know, they love to tear Woodward up. Every summer they tear the shit out of Woodward.
It's not exactly a parking lot.
Yeah, and then
I mean, you could go 696.
You could.
Three, four exits.
Nonetheless, I will admit, I come across as a very, as a whiner.
Yeah, that was, and, was a little. Well, I think you're just a little high maintenance.
I did. A little? Trish, yeah, no, I've realized a lot of things. Over the 3 years that I've been off the air, I've spent a long time examining myself, and I'm not gonna fight with a lot of this. A lot of this stuff, I've been to the cry car and back 100 times.
Yeah. The other beef I should point out before we get past this is that you didn't like the idea of getting home so late.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is like 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're leaving at like 4:40.
I know. Brother, already?
I didn't know we had some sound over.
Oh, no.
We had that going already.
Oh, the first fucking drop, really?
Where's Sam Kinison? I know people are going, where's Sam Kinison?
No, it's too early
for that. Mr. Helper?
Oh, it's too early for that.
People are really dying to hear that one.
And while you're at it, keep dumping on me, and then I want to know how many stairs at your goddamn house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, how many stairs?
That, you know.
Well, that's you know. Actually, I'm very sympathetic to your knee issue. That's Well, you could get it replaced.
No, not me. I don't have that kind of luck. I'll go in. I get my knee replaced. Everybody else gets their knee replaced. Oh yeah, I was back in the job in a week. Now I get my knee replaced, and it's like there's an infection set in. The manufacturer, the knee, the replacement they use is no good, and they got to take it out, put another one in, and. that's just the kind of luck I have. So
I can't say I would be excited about getting a knee replacement.
No,
I would think
no.
Watching you hobble the way you do, I expect at some point you're going to go, this is such an imposition, I'm just going to go in and do it. But that hasn't happened.
It hasn't happened yet. I hope it never does, but it will.
Are you? Have you ever come to the point where you said, you know what, I've got to do this?
Never.
Really? You know, I was thinking that was probably the case.
But I will tell you this. I have come to the point where I realize that at some point I'm going to have to do that.
It seems like that some point would have come by now.
I know. Well, it's because I'm freaked out to do it. I'm so freaked out to do it.
Just the idea of a long hospital stay?
I think it's because, Drew, this leg, this left leg of mine from an old motorcycle accident, which is where it all started, and I just think there were so many operations and so much time in the hospital that it just burnt me out. You know, it just
you said,
burned
that's
me
the end.
Out.
I'm done with this leg.
Yeah, I'm
this
done
This is the best
it.
It's going to be.
Yeah, and I just, the idea of going under the knife again and anesthesia and it's got to be general anesthesia, you know, all of that. It's just, well, it doesn't have to be, actually, it turns out. Although
you don't have to go under for a knee replacement?
Well, you know what? They can give you those spinals now. Now, that is the other thing. I will say this, too. It does seem the longer I wait, the better and easier knee replacements are getting.
I know the philosophy, my man.
Anything, yes.
Yeah, I've said it myself many times about my back. And you know, they keep coming up with new stuff.
Well, they do, though.
It's more sense to wait.
Well, they
do. What am I going to do? Yeah. I'm going to get new hair or something?
Yeah.
Come up with better ways of replacing your hair. My God, I should just wait.
Yeah.
Why do it now? There'll be a better way in 10 years. Of course, by then, you know, how old are you, for Christ's sake?
No, but it's true. It really is. But the thing is I know at some point something's going to have to be dealt with. But I do really think that in the beginning, fuck, man, I was in the hospital for almost 90 days, 7 operations. And there's so much pain involved in any kind of bone surgery. Oh, it's so much pain.
Oh, I'm sure knee replacement is a pretty dramatic thing. The shape of your leg.
I know.
And seeing that walk for this long, it just seems like, but man, you just soldier on.
I know. It's funny how weak I am, isn't it funny? In some areas where I have no willpower, you know what I mean?
You've got a stubbornness and a something of put one leg in front of the other thing that's really powerful.
Yeah. And that which Trish points it out all the time. It's just amazing how weak and lacking of willpower you are in so many areas. And yet, when it's something that, you know, you have a certain something that you want to protect or you like, which you're always
or avoid.
Out, if I like it or
yeah, if you like it, yes.
Or whatever. Then it's incredible what I can put myself through and everybody else.
No doubt about it.
And it's true, man. It is true. So I don't know. We'll see what the future holds. But I'm hanging in there so far with it, goddammit.
I'm thinking you're going to the grave with your leg in the exact shape it's in right now.
It could be.
I assume that unless something dramatic happens.
Well, I don't know.
I hope it doesn't.
I hope to make it to 90, and I don't know if the knee is going to make it to 90. But
and I want to mention, too, that your father is my father's age, 95, right?
That's the thing. That's what's interesting about our parents. They really are paralleling one another. Your mother and my dad are identical ages, and... and of course, I lost my mother tragically with that accident where she slipped in the rain and hit her head, and that was a major problem with her age. I'm guessing with your dad, probably, by the way, with that concussion.
I know.
When they get to be older like that, and there's a head strike in any fashion, it's really a problem. It's a big problem.
It's funny. We all assume that he would come out of it like one comes out of a normal concussion.
Right. It's their age.
And then I'm in this, he's in like a retirement place recovering, and days are going by, and it's like, Dad, you know how long you've been here? He's been there 2 weeks.
Yeah.
3 days?
Is that right?
He's like, where? Was this a hotel? No, Dad, it's like a hospital, kind of.
Yeah.
Then he just sort of goes back inside himself.
Yeah.
Comes out occasionally.
I wonder if I've got dementia, because I'm the same thing. I'll be walking around thinking it's Sunday. Positive. Michael, it's Thursday. Like, what?
I think that's from not working.
No, it is.
It's funny how little what day it matters.
Yeah.
I still do love the weekend.
I know.
Even though, working, it doesn't really matter. But
I know. I still hate Monday.
I don't like Monday either. It's funny. Why do I not like Monday? It's like, it's no harm to me.
I mean,
what's going to happen to me? I don't have to work today.
I know. I don't know what I think it's just a... we spend our lifetimes, everybody does, hating Monday, It's the beginning of the week and all kinds of things that one has to do and responsibilities and... So it's traditionally not enjoyed all that much, and it just sticks with you after a number of years when you have that feeling about a certain day. But yeah, my dad,
Sunday seems like the end of good things. I still have that dreaded feeling on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
We were talking about this. I forgot who it was, but we were talking about the ticking of the 60 minutes stopwatch. And as a kid, how horrible that was when you heard the 60 minutes stopwatch. Like, oh my God, the weekend is really over now because this horrible adult show is coming
out. Yeah, it's true.
I love the show now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you're right. If you hear that ticking, it's like, oh man.
Yeah, weekend's over, football's over, everything is over.
That's right. There's a depression there, you know?
Definitely.
It really is. It just not that much fun. My dad, though, thank God. I will say, though, my dad is doing pretty well. He's, although he's got his issues, believe me, he's struggling. You know, he's got macular
degeneration. Anybody in their 90s?
Yeah, he can't hear. Now he can't see with macular degeneration. Now he's got this strange.
Can't see.
Yeah, he's got macular degeneration, legal blind, you know.
Oh, boy.
And now he's got this weird red pattern across his eyesight. And he went to the eye doctor, and they're like, well, there's nothing wrong with you. But it's just part of what can happen with macular degeneration.
He's
and
seeing red, literally?
Yeah, it's like a red...
sure he's not angry.
I know. That's what I wanted. Sure it's not blood pressure or he's fuming pissed, you know?
Seeing red.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's just some bizarre thing that can happen. But you know, he's got his brain. He's real good with that. His memory is great. You know, he knows the computers better than I do.
Wow, are you kidding me?
I think the computer is really what's
keeping him going.
Yeah,
that's
great. I will always believe that. It used to be crossword puzzles. Then he couldn't no longer see to do them, but the computer keeps him. And you know, he gets himself involved in all kinds of uploads and you know upgrades.
Does he visit the porn world at all?
No,
really?
Not that I know of.
Wouldn't he share that with you?
I know of.
I don't know if I'm buying that.
That would be horrible.
Never. Wait, how long has he must have been in the computer for a while if he's into it that much now, right?
Well, you know, it's possible. The worst that ever became with my dad was when I ran into a Mickey Spillane book. I remember that. And one of the pages was dog-eared, and it was this really rough sexual encounter in this book.
Mickey Spillane book.
Yeah, Mickey Spillane, I'll never forget.
He's really getting out there on the edge, huh?
Yeah.
Really, and you don't think he's ever sought out porn online?
Well, no. No.
No?
I don't think so.
God, he's your dad? You sure he's your dad?
Maybe I'm blocking it. I could be blocking it.
Possibly.
I don't know that. I would
probably say the same about my dad if he were screwing around on computers a lot, but he's not.
It might be so horrible to consider it that I'm just blocking it. It could be.
I
don't know that.
I would think 20 years ago, he would have had some interest in
it. Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, he had way back in the 70s, you know, ran into that sack full of 8mm.
Oh, his buddy Art?
Well,
is that what you're referring to?
No, this was a sack full of 8mm videos.
Oh!
Yeah, and I remember putting them on the old Bell and Howell. You know,
you put them up to see what they were?
See what they were.
What the hell was that?
Here was this Navy guy sitting there with a dick like 3 feet across. It was like 4 inches high and like 3 feet across.
What? A true...
it was Swedish erotica. You probably don't even...
We're talking serious girth here.
This is like, girth, gigundous. No length at all.
This is your dad's version of porn?
It was graphic pornography.
Wow. So did it freak you out a little bit?
Very much so. In fact, I haven't thought about it until now.
What was the matter with Larry Flint and Hugh Hefner and regular old American porn?
I think he was past it by then, I think. I don't think he ever got into that. Well, although...
Oh, so maybe he discovered that a long time ago, and that was what he had when he was into it.
I got to tell you, you know, come to think of it, I took a few nude pictures of my girlfriend in high school.
Oh, yeah.
And he freaked me out not so long ago when he said... He had seen a couple of those.
What?
And I said, what? My girlfriend? Really? How did you see that?
Probably dug the hell out of that.
Oh. Because she was hot.
I remember when you acknowledged throwing those out and how much you regretted that.
Oh, did I regret
that? You're going through your heavy Christian phase.
Yeah, to this day I regret it. I really do. I really do regret it to this day.
And what a shame.
The good thing is that I stared at them for so many years that they're forever seared into my
brain. You know what's on the other side.
Exactly what they look like. But the thing of it is, I said, how in the hell did you see that? And he says, well, you know, you were using my old Polaroid camera. And when you stripped off the image, it left that gooey... negative behind, right?
No kidding.
Yeah, he was.
So he wanted to see what you were up to.
He had a lousy image, but he had an image.
Damn.
Yes, and he found it, and I foolishly left it in the waste paper basket.
And he went in the wastebasket to see this?
Yes.
So he knew you were up to. He knew you were up to no.
Oh yeah, he knew I had his camera.
He was creeping.
Yeah,
he was creeping. That's wild.
Yeah, very wild. So
just assume that's the wildest thing your dad's ever done.
Yeah, I think it was.
That porn sounds pretty crazy.
Yeah, I think it was. But anyway, the bottom line is they are at that age, Drew, where it's rough. You know, this is the time in life, and I think, you know, as we all get up there in age, you know, our parents are either leaving the planet or bound to be leaving not so
sometime
far
in the near future,
and we're all struggling with it out there, and it's tough. It's real rough.
No, I know we're probably gonna see a lot of email from people who are going through the same thing.
It's really
a huge drag. And
God, it is.
When my second parent, see, I thought I had one parent that was really struggling. My mom was kind of high maintenance, and I felt guilty because I didn't spend enough time with her.
Yeah.
And she's really leaning on me because I'm in Michigan and she's in Michigan and everybody else is in Illinois or California or South Carolina. And so being off has been nice because I can go over there. It's not a big deal. Spend a couple hours. She really appreciates it. And I knew as soon as I plunged into that 9 to 5 Monday through Friday or 6 to 10, whatever you want to call it, that those visits would become more infrequent and I would feel worse about, I mean, because really what's important. It really wasn't that important to have a commercial job. I felt it was in a way because I felt like I know the easiest thing to listen to us doing radio is on commercial radio. But I do feel this podcast, those who really want to know what's going on with us, really want to hear our show, they'll find us on the podcast.
Oh,
they'll like it. I think they'll love it. I think, you know, today's the first day. I'm a little nervous today. It's weird.
That's why I told Donnie that on the way. On the way over here, we were talking briefly, and I said, "I got to, I'm nervous." I told Trish the same thing. She says, "What are you talking about? You withdrew for 22 years." I says, "No, it's not that I'm nervous, but it's just I've been off the air for 3 years, and I know it's a podcast, but you know, it's not like I'm going to run into, you know, Channel 247 and a sea of management and sales personnel and all that, which is great, by the way." And
still wanted to be good.
But still, yeah, I felt the same way.
Hey, I wanted to branch off into some actual material. I did want to explain why we're doing the podcast. I hope we got that across. You know, I was talking about my mom. When my dad took a spill, that was when I really felt like I cannot go back into the work world.
No, that's right.
Do it. But anyway, so moving forward, there are a couple things today. One, this TMZ story about Sinead O'Connor and Prince. This is the wildest thing. I mean, there's been wild stuff reported about Prince. The Inquirer has him with AIDS since the mid-90s.
Oh, that sucks. I was really disappointed to hear that. It's like, oh, come on. Please.
I'm not ready to believe that. There's some substance issue of some kind.
I refuse to believe it. Not at this point.
But Sinead O'Connor is claiming that Arsenio Hall was supplying Prince and Eddie Murphy. She said he was Prince and Eddie Murphy's bitch, as in he supplied them with drugs for years. I mean, I got the impression it was for a long time, and she seemed to be implying that everyone knows this.
Wow.
Sinead O'Connor.
Man.
Who did, you know, her big hit was Prince's song, Nothing Compares to You. Prince wrote it.
Yeah.
And I think Prince and her had something, sort of. I don't know if it was
they did.
A tease thing or if it was a love thing, too.
Well, yeah, because when you were talking about that, I was kind of thinking about that because they did have something going. And, oh, God, this woman, I hate even thinking about her because all I see her is in a robe looking like a Krishna with that stupid fucking bald head of hers.
Oh, and tearing up the Pope picture
robe.
On Saturday Night Live. I know, she was
like,
gross. She was a real pain in the ass.
I know. It looked like she stepped off a UFO, like she came down a tractor beam or something. And, of course, when she ripped up this stupid picture of the Pope and all that crap. But the thing of it is that there was something going on with her and Prince. You're absolutely right. And not only that, do you remember we were once talking about something about Prince had somebody over the house, this chick, and I'm thinking it was her, and he wouldn't let them go. You know, it was sort of.
You're not thinking of Sean Penn and Madonna?
No, it wasn't that. And it sort of reeked a little bit like a Phil Spector.
Like he kidnapped somebody?
Well, he was blocked the door, you know, and was like, you're not going anywhere, you know.
I can see Prince doing that. Wow, are you looking at the picture I'm looking at right now? Do you have. We're still putting our technical aspect together here, but I'm looking at Jay brought up a picture of Sinead O'Connor, a recent picture. She's got a huge gut, and she's wearing like
gross.
A crop top, and it's like, what? O'Connor, would you go back to your bald, creepy self? This new act is disgusting. She's got hair down to her shoulders. And
she does have hair?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God. I was going to say, please tell me she has hair.
She was so unpleasant, though. Can you ever? I can never imagine her laughing at a joke or, being pleasant.
No sense of humor at all. But
going back to your Prince thing about him kidnapping somebody or holding someone against their will, I'm trying to remember who that would be.
It was a long time ago, and there was some girl that was trying to get out of there, and it was a really miserable, weird experience with Prince.
I'll run down Prince's girlfriends, and maybe the name will come to you.
Because the choir
was kind enough to print like the top Prince's top 15.
Yeah.
Okay, there's Madonna. He and Madonna had a thing.
I believe that.
Vanessa Marcil. Sherilyn Fenn.
Wow.
He and Sherilyn Fenn were an item. They were pretty hot and heavy for a while. Carmen Electra became Carmen Electra working with Prince.
Boy, Sherilyn Fenn. Oh, that would be a perfect mix. Can't you picture
that? Yeah, no, that seems like they would have gotten married.
Oh, yeah. I could picture those two together.
Do you know the Carmen Electra story with Prince?
No.
Her name was Gail something something. And Prince said, no, we're going to call you Carmen Electra, and I'm going to manage your career. And they made a record. And whoever the label was, it was Warner at the time before he claimed the record company was screwing him and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
The big rub, by the way, between the record company, I'm reading a book about Prince right now, so a lot of cool Prince stuff is going to be coming out of me in the next few podcasts, hopefully. The big rub with Warner was they were tired of financing all his girlfriend's projects.
Oh, is that what it was?
Because, you know, it was Apollonia, Vanity 6, who, by the way, he wanted to call Vagina. Her name is Denise Matthews. He got her to take Vanity, but he wanted her to call herself Vagina. V-A-G-E-E-N-A.
Oh, oh God.
Ridiculous.
Oh, you're
and Vanity, not kidding. Vanity 6, you know why they call Vanity 6? Because there's only three girls in the band. There weren't six people.
Yeah.
For the six boobs.
Oh, God.
Oh, you got to hand it to the guy.
Oh, God. Well, it's too bad he didn't have a...
Well, you got two boobs here, two boobs here, two boobs...
Oh,
Vanity 6.
Oh, man.
How many boobs are in this band? Yeah, you'd be the Vanity 6.
It's too bad instead of that stupid name, Virginia. Too bad...
Vagina.
Vagina. Too bad he didn't come up with a symbol for that one. You know, the traditional... This would be the symbol. You know?
Oh, we need video.
Yeah, we do.
We've declined video, by the way. We decided this would be a better radio show without video. Yeah, Tell us if you think we're wrong.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll.
Yeah.
If there's something that you must see, we'll just put it up on the website.
It's utilizing the index finger and the thumb to create a rather short tunnel for all those of you dying to wonder what I was just doing.
DrewandMikePodcast.com. If you want to send us email, mail@DrewandMikePodcast.com. And I would love to get a lot of mail. I'd love to see what people are into, what you want to hear us talking about, what you want out of the podcast. When do you want to hear it? Do you mind that it's something you need to download or go online to listen to? Is it a big problem? Will you do it? Will you listen often?
You think we can get Clark's dad to do the website? He's a computer guru.
Oh, you know what? It's possible. He might like the challenge.
I don't know if we have time for the challenge.
I think that train left the station, I think.
Hey, let me finish with Prince's girlfriends. Sheila E.
Sheila E.
She was fine.
Oh.
Sheila the drummer? The glamorous life?
I know. I'm wondering if it could have been her, maybe. Okay.
Métis Garcia, he married. Good-looking girl.
Yeah.
I'll show you her picture in a second.
Oh, I've seen her. She's a beauty. I saw her.
Nona Gay, Marvin's daughter.
Yep.
Apollonia, who was topless in Purple Rain.
Yep.
And quite hot.
Oh, smoking hot.
She was fine. She had a band that Warner Brothers financed.
I tell you, man, he really does. He's had
Was that band Apollonia 6? It was Apollonia 6. I didn't know there were three girls in that band. I'm going to assume that it's six for the six boobs, but maybe I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Kim Basinger and Prince.
Oh.
He saw 9.5 weeks and said, I got to tap that.
Maybe that was... Ooh,
yeah. It's starting to sound familiar to me.
That may have been the problem right there. Because doesn't it reek of it? Kim Basinger?
Absolutely.
With her problems?
Oh, God.
Oh, I'll bet you it was Kim Basinger.
Why does Kim Basinger end up with these guys who never put up with her crap? Alec Baldwin and Prince. Can you see either one of them? I mean, Alec Baldwin literally said he will not. Alec Baldwin, she drove him nuts.
Absolutely. She used to always be. She'd watch TV. Everything on TV, it'd be like, every.
Oh yeah, she cries at the drop of a hat. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and everything. Every time there was some issue on television, somebody starving, like, we've got to do something. And Alec would be like, "Will you shut the fuck up, will you?"
But for all her sympathy, I know I told you this story. You'll remember. You'll recognize this story. she wanted a house, a vacation home, and he built a home for her, or maybe bought a home for her. It was in upstate New York, you know, probably Woodstock or somewhere up there, maybe Adirondacks, I don't know.
Yeah.
Furnished it, everything, got her favorite designer, got it done exactly how
she wanted it.
Well, so he thought she would want it. Anyway, so on the way, he's driving her there, he says, here's what I did, you know, it's a surprise, I hope you like it, you know, and he just basically hints that, you know, it's our vacation home. Anyway, she walks in the front door, looks around for a few seconds, and what does she say? I hate it!
Oh.
Yes.
Bitch!
I know. What a cunt.
Yeah.
I can say that.
You can.
We'll make a habit of it.
That's right. Well, it fit.
I mean, how pissed would you be? And Alec Baldwin, you know, the guy's no control of himself anyway.
Yeah,
and
then
you do something that's stupid.
Yeah, he gets away with a lot, Alec Baldwin. Boy, does he get away with a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you know why he gets away with it, though? Because he's liberal.
Well, I was just going to say.
So I think he gets a lot of break.
I've heard that.
Because he's got a big thing with calling people faggots.
Yep.
When he gets in a scrap with somebody. Oh, you faggot. And then, of course, to upset
the
gay
liberals
community.
Where are the liberals with that? When he does that, where are they?
Because Alec Baldwin is a true liberal. They just say, oh, well, he just, you know, lost control of his temper. And he shouldn't do that again. And he won't do that again. And then he does it again.
Of course he does.
Do you remember Prince and Susanna Hoffs from the Bengals?
No, I don't
remember. She's a cutie. I mean, she's the only cute Bengal.
Yeah.
I need some photographs for the website, hopefully.
Look at that. Very nice.
The business of taking the pictures and doing strange things with them has begun already.
Oh, God, Don, stop it. You're killing me.
Manuela Testolini, that's Prince's second wife, and I'm going to pass this over to you. He also was banging Kristin Scott Thomas, the actress.
I didn't remember that one either.
And Vanity, I forgot to mention. Well, I did mention Vanity. Vagina.
Yeah.
Or Vanity.
Yeah.
And here's the. Here you go.
Okay.
Check it out. Pretty nice collection. Yeah, he was pretty
fine
taste.
No, you have
taste.
To hand it to him. You have to hand
it. Oh, you got to hand it to him. You can't. Yeah. I mean, I got to say, the day Prince died, I think it was just universal that everyone respected that guy and knew what an immense talent he was.
Oh.
There was no argument about it. David Bowie, I'm sure a lot of people, that creepy, weird guy. There are those people. But with Prince, you just had to respect his talent. And I'm watching Larry King and Wolf Blitzer.
Yeah.
Prince coverage.
Yeah.
Wolf Blitzer and Larry King. CNN has got to get somebody hip and young to bring in when something like this happens.
What a debacle. What an embarrassment for CNN.
It was. It was a total embarrassment because, of course, the first thing ends up all over social media is Wolf Blitzer going, well, we all remember Purple Haze and the way that changed the music business. Purple Haze.
God, man.
Come on, Wolf.
Cut it out. That's so Larry King-like.
I know. And then they call it Larry to give perspective on Prince. Like Larry King, I mean, there's the guy that knows all about Prince.
I know it. Yeah, just because
he interviewed him once.
Yeah, he had that one interview with him, which I watched, you know. And are you feeling comfortable right now? Yeah, man, I'm comfortable.
We got Wolf Blitzer.
He's been so active over all of these years, writing music, performing soundtracks for major motion pictures. All of us, of course, remember Purple Haze.
What an asshole.
I know. You dumbass.
What an asshole. I hate Wolf Blitzer. I hate him.
I know. I used to think he was.
I really do.
Did you ever think he was really smart? Because I did.
Did you?
The first war, Gulf War, when he first came up, Connor.
All right, when he was.
First of all, his name was so cool. It just seemed like, you know, this guy's incredible.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous. He and Larry King, and then.
No, he was during the war, his war coverage, but.
Now, if I would look back on it now, I'm sure I'd be embarrassed at my, you know, that I ever thought that. And Arthur Kent, remember Arthur Kent?
Yeah.
The Scud Stud?
Yep. Yep.
And what happened to him after the war?
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, nothing.
Where is Arthur Kent?
Who knows?
Isn't that weird?
Nobody cares. That's
I mean, there must have been nothing to it other than he was a good-looking guy.
Come and they go.
Yeah.
Yeah, flash in the pan.
So, anyway, the first...
And then, of course, Wolf Blitzer with that stupid fucking UFO thing. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, that
I
was...
Get any stupider than that.
That was the most clueless moment. Yeah, that was when the kid, Heaney... Wait, what's his name? Falcon Heaney. There you go. Thanks, Jay. Falcon Heaney, allegedly, they thought he took off in this thing, and CNN was covering it for hours as it flew across the country with this kid in it, so we thought.
Oh, yeah, and that balloon that was traveling across. We were all concerned about
it was a balloon,
the kid inside,
right.
You know.
Yeah, those kids going to die for sure. Anyway,
oh, yeah.
The thing finally crashes, and they get to it. No kid on board. Turns out the kid was hiding in the barn or something.
Was that? I mean, you talk about the Al Capone vault. This was,
this was
like the biggest like collective dropping of boners. Everybody's boner just went, woo, woo.
Yeah, we thought there was going to be a dead kid in there. What is this?
One collective.
There's got to be some carnage.
Yeah, massive deflation.
Watched this for hours, and I did. I watched it for hours.
I did, too. I was on the phone with Trish on the way home, and she was giving me the blow-by-blow on the phone. And she said, oh, I can't wait to get home and see this thing. It seemed for sure there was a kid on that thing. Oh, that was such a drag. That was so stupid.
And the kicker was it was a total setup. It was a phony deal. It was intended. And we never really knew that until Wolf Blitzer interviewed the family.
That's right.
And he asked the kid, Falcon, where were you all that time? And he said something like, I thought we did it for the show. And it was obvious, the kid was in on the thing.
That's right.
We did it for the show. And Wolf didn't hear or didn't pay attention to his answer. Just went over his head.
Let it go.
A 5-year-old says something. It goes over Wolf Blitzer's head.
Yep.
It was clear as a bell.
And everybody watching it was like, stop, yeah. Wait. Just a minute.
During the commercial, someone, of course, said, hey, Wolf, you asshole. The kid said we did it for the show.
That's right.
You want to challenge this guy?
That's right. And the next day, Diane Sawyer, everybody was on it. Come the next day. You know?
You know what? They had another little kid who threw up while the family was on TV. I don't know why I remember that, but I do.
Oh.
He threw up on live TV because we were so excited watching it. Hey, the kid threw up.
Yeah, that little... And remember the parents when he said we did it for the show, the parents were just like,
Can we cut to commercial, Wolf?
Oh boy, oh man, that was incredible.
Our kid just said something that sounded like we did it for the show, but it couldn't have been.
So. Oh God, but yeah, Wolf at that point. Oh, and this thing here with Prince. Oh Jesus, you know, with Wolf.
Oh, you know what they did, though? They brought on, this really irritated me, will you please stop defacing our pictures? I've got a Jamaica hat on.
Worse yet, I lost a tooth in the 3 years I've been off the radio.
What happened? What happened?
I forgot. Oh, it was just a tooth that
That's a pretty critical broke. Tooth. You might want to replace that one.
I have the replacement at home.
You do?
Yeah, I forgot.
I have the replacement at home.
I forgot to bring it in.
You put it on every day?
Never.
I mean, you can have it or go without it, whatever you decide when you leave the house.
Yeah, I figured if I'm going to be on TV, I'll put it on. I should have put it on here. It's just it's one little tooth on a thing that you it hooks to the roof of your mouth, and you put it in there. And
it's a bridge. Is it a bridge?
I guess.
Yeah, it's probably a bridge.
Yeah.
What we have here is
Cardi and the guys have had. I've seen them push it in. No,
if you were a hockey player, it'd be a little cooler.
It wasn't. Yeah, right. And I can't tell people I'm a hockey player because they take one look at me and go like,
we know better.
So
no, we have Mike with teeth. Let's just refer to the front teeth as teeth number one.
Yeah.
Your key front. Mike is missing one of his number twos
in the smile
right
zone.
The front.
In the smile zone. And of all things, I should have brought that stupid tooth because I'm waiting for an implant. Is what's happening.
Oh, okay. That's tough stuff. Implants.
Yeah. Because then they use cadaver bone. It's like whatever that person had. That's what scares me.
What's wrong?
Well, because you're getting bone from somebody. You know what I mean? So if they, I don't know, had whatever. Yeah,
wait, that's what the implant's made of.
Well, they use some of this bone from a dead person, you know, for that.
To make the implant? They can't come up with anything else to make an implant other than...
No, that's, I know, that's the thing. And it's like, so if...
What's wrong with a bridge?
I don't know. The implants look pretty nice. They just drill them in and you're done.
Wait, this is the guy who doesn't mind leaving the house without tooth number two.
I know. I've reached a point, though.
And you're concerned about the quality of
tooth
number two?
I was more sensitive about it a couple of years ago. I've reached a point I don't give a shit. And by now, I should be getting my implant anyway. The dentist has been ready to go forever. Now I'm just like, okay, I'll get there. Kind of gone the way of my knee replacement.
It's been at the office for like 3 months. They're calling you every couple weeks now.
And they quit calling.
It's been in for a while. They stopped
calling.
They quit calling.
So,
oh Lordy!
Anyway, so
I never got to
help me
the
out.
The point I wanted to make
Don,
about Blitzer and
fix my tooth, will you, bud?
Blitzer and Larry King. Once Larry King disappeared, they start taking calls.
Yeah,
from famous people. Who's the first important quote unquote person to call in? LaToya Jackson.
Oh brother! Doesn't
Can you
that
believe
just,
that?
Doesn't that just figure?
Oh, of course, yeah. Because she don't. You know what she wanted to talk about?
Herself.
Michael, the closest thing to herself. Michael. Oh, this reminds me of Michael Wolff. This is horrible. Oh, my God. I just remember Michael 6 years ago. Oh, it was so awful. Oh. Prince just died, you idiot. We're not talking about Michael.
Yeah, exactly. It's about Prince, you idiot.
And the connection, it was so ridiculous. I just couldn't believe they didn't get her off almost immediately. I couldn't believe they put her on.
I know, to begin with. Yeah.
But then it's interesting. The person that was obliterated by the deaths of Prince and Michael Jackson, China, died the day Prince died. The wrestler.
Yeah.
Did you even know that?
No, I did not.
A lot of people don't even know it.
No, I have no
idea. She died before him, didn't she?
Yeah.
She was like, oh, the wrestler of China. And then, boom, Prince died. And it's like, oh, whatever. Who cares? And Farrah Fawcett Majors died the day Michael Jackson died.
Really?
Farrah Fawcett did, yeah.
Oh, man.
And that was just, phew, see ya, whatever.
Wow.
Worse than the girl from Detroit?
Which girl?
LaToya?
They had a girl on Fox, too. This might have been, and I love Fox, too. I love Huel. Charlie's over there. Charlie's going to be doing some podcasts, by the way.
Charlie's good night.
ML, Elric, we have all kinds of friends over there. They got saddled with, it was a boo-boo. They got somebody to talk about Prince.
Yeah.
And it was someone who, I guess Prince had produced her record at some point or had worked with her. I don't know how tight the connection was, but as soon as she came on, she started crying.
Oh, geez. Okay.
And she was like talking, crying, like, yeah. Oh, and he loved urban farming. And she gave you nothing really about Prince. It was just like all this stuff that I don't even think we really wanted to hear about that he was into urban farming.
Yeah. There's nothing there. There was nothing.
Gave money for urban farming to whatever, but she went on and on. And, on. And just when she finally shut up, because it was like she wouldn't even leave a gap to let someone else go, yeah, you can get out of here now.
Yeah, right.
Sherry Margolis asked two or three more questions.
Oh, no.
I was shocked. I thought somebody was be screaming there.
Oh,
do not
man.
Ask her a question. Tell her we're taking a break.
You're not kidding. Where were the producers? Where were the
I don't know.
Directors?
Maybe they thought it was effective because she was crying so hard.
They must have, yeah.
It was honestly one of the
worst.
Well,
they love it when people cry on TV.
Yeah, it wasn't.
But still.
Something seemed fake about it, though. It wasn't that it was fake. It was just that it was, I don't know, it wasn't effective.
Yeah,
it did not get me closer to Prince.
No, absolutely not. God, that's lame when something like that happens. Oh, man.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Well, that's when all these people come out of the woodwork, you know, to jump in the fray and throw their 2 cents in. But I'll tell you, on the Prince thing, you know what really, by the way, is blowing my mind is that we're hearing so many things. About the possibility of, was it this, was it that, and the other thing, and you talked about earlier on the show.
Arsenio Hall.
And the
delivery
drugs.
Copious amounts of drugs.
It's an attorney for the siblings that said that it came out and said that Prince had a substantial war going on with Percodan and cocaine. But it's hard to know what to believe. Here's my thing.
I find myself believing almost everything. It's really
everything
weird.
Everything and anything.
Like the Arsenio Hall thing doesn't seem believable.
Oh, that's totally believable.
Because I was wondering, why did he go back to TV? He was making too much selling drugs to Prince and Eddie Murphy. He couldn't go back to TV. There wasn't enough money to bring him back to TV.
And no wonder he was always on the Arsenio Hall show. One less stop on the way home. So the thing of it is, though.
How bizarre.
I know. True, though.
Arsenio Hall. But, I mean. If you were in the entertainment business and you found out Arsenio Hall, wouldn't that, I mean, I go, really? Wait, just that TV show. He's dealing drugs?
I know.
But it seems really believable to me. I guess that's a real knock on Arsenio Hall, but I know. For some reason I believe it.
It could have been Montel. At least it was Arsenio.
Arsenio's more believable than Montel to me.
I know. Me too.
Montel's been on TV much more recently.
Yeah.
Arsenio had a show last year and it bombed.
Yeah.
It just, pew, see ya.
Yeah, pew.
In fact, I never heard it starting or ending.
I know, I didn't.
It was coming, and then I knew it was gone.
Me either. I had no clue. Nobody did. That's what happens. Problems. But the thing of it is that we're hearing about these drugs. But they also said that over the last something like 4 or 5 years, there had been 4 visits to his studio there in Minneapolis to treat him for some sort of issue. You know, where the police and the EMS showed up.
You know, there was
over
another
the last
story.
Several years.
There was another story that were the 45 ambulance visits to Paisley Park.
45?
45 ambulance visits.
Oh, but
this
man.
Is what I mean. You hear 4, we hear 45, and it's like, I believe everything.
4 was recently.
Okay.
Oh, 4 recently. That's right. Like the last month or something.
I saw that 2 days ago, Don.
Yeah, that's dead on, though. But 45 over 5 years.
Right. That's exactly what I heard. Yeah.
So 9 times a year they revived this guy. Did anybody maybe think that? Maybe we ought to get this guy some help.
And what about him? Get a clue, Prince. I mean, he was so cool.
But how does no one find out?
That's stupid.
He's averaging 9 ambulance rides a year, and no one finds out about this?
I know it. How about this? He's on his private jet, and, and he's unresponsive on his own plane.
Are you flying it? Yeah,
I know. I know.
You had to be totally into that story.
I was. First, he was like, oh, forget about Prince. What kind of plane was it?
And Moline, Illinois can't be the...
No.
They must have really needed to land
right now.
Well,
here's the thing. Here's the thing, too. Well, yeah, they did, because he was literally dying on that airplane. So here's the thing, too, by the way. What kind of a hospital are you? Fucking Prince is there. OD,
and
you don't
you
have
can't
a private
find
room?
A private room. I know.
Wouldn't you have thrown out the bakers? Okay, you, old man Baker, you get the fuck out of here. Right. This is Prince's room.
Make a private room for
I would
him.
Have
kicked someone out.
I would have rolled him into the hallway and said, you just got downgraded, bitch.
You shut down the emergency room.
Fuck
just
yes.
shut it down. All of you, get out of here with your stupid stitches. Go somewhere else. Prince is here.
Yes, absolutely. You can't have a semi-private room. The Enquirer would be in the other bed in 2 seconds.
I figure you're calling contractors to paint the room purple before he's even admitted.
Yeah, seriously. No, the Enquirer would be occupying the other bed.
in the non-private room.
Oh, yeah. And then you'd have the Globe. They'd be coming in to visit with the other person in the semi-private
Enquirer.
Room. Because all you got to do is get one picture of Prince in bed. You know how much that would be worth? So, but again,
you know, not one picture, is there? We have a 911 call though from the plane.
Right?
Did you hear it?
Yes, I did.
Pretty, not very exciting.
No, it wasn't. It was a bummer.
Nothing like the Kid Rock 911 call.
Yeah,
oh my
yeah.
God!
How would you have called that in as a pilot?
Oh, I would have been.
Prince is dying.
Yeah, I would have. Yeah, I would have. I said my name. I have a passenger. His name is Prince. Maybe you've heard of him. Purple Rain. Anyways, my fucking passenger. I'm the pilot, and I got to get him on the ground because he's dying of a drug overdose.
He took about 50 Percocet in the last day, right, and he's crashed.
So
he's unresponsive.
Right. So
in a private room immediately, painted purple by the time we're down there.
Yeah. So Moline approach. I need 15 drug dealers on the ground in the next
call
20
our
minutes.
City Hall.
And I, yeah.
And I, sudden landing? Is that a big deal?
Nope. And they got him in with an emergency land, no problem. I would have surrounded him by drug dealers. What do you need? What do you need to get you out of this? What do you need? but of course, they gave him that famous narcotic drug.
Narco, yeah.
Stopped, yeah, that restores their breathing in 2 seconds.
Can people buy that at the drugstore? Why shouldn't everyone have Narco?
Well, now that everybody is collapsing from heroin overdoses.
And they are.
Right. They said that that should be available in everybody's medicine cabinet. It really should be.
You know what's so stupid? I thought that Narco
not?
Was only for heroin. I didn't know you could use it for... You know,
opiates
if a guy OD'd
general.
On Vicodin or something.
Yeah.
Apparently it's good for anything.
Yeah, because it's in that opiate family. So and that stops your breathing if you overdose on it like that. But that will stop. And they say EMS, like
reverses,
if you've ever see it happen.
It reverses the effect of the drug.
Right, but they, if you see it happen, you know, a guy who's in the middle of an OD who's going to die.
Right.
They stop breathing, right? They're not breathing. So you sit there and you inject them with this thing. And literally, it's like the end of Game of Thrones. Any people watching Game of Thrones with Jon Snow. In the last scene where all of a sudden, boom.
Think of Pulp Fiction.
And they take a break.
Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. Think of that.
That's with the spike to the heart.
Yeah.
And, you know, I asked my brother about that. He's a doctor. And he said, yeah, that was fairly accurate, actually.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, my God. Well, shouldn't we all be practicing that? I mean,
yeah. I think I might be wrong, but I think that drug, you could even put it under their tongue and restore them. But they come back
Narco?
I mean, instantly.
That's incredible.
Restore his breathing, and you save their life.
What a drug.
Why not have that in everybody's medicine cabinet? We're so
probably
cost hung up.
$600 a dose or
probably,
something.
Probably, but why not have a dose, you know?
Hey,
you got me, but the thing of it is, what I'm saying is that, okay, he goes there, he can't get a private room, right? Total bullshit. Gets on the plane. It's what was it? Something like a 48-minute flight to get back home, which was literally nothing. He gets to his house. He's been through hell, and he's got this dance party.
I know, the next night.
What? What?
Boy, that reversal drug is a little
hospital.
Too good.
How can you have a dance party? Are you fucking
Prince,
kidding me?
We brought a plane down because you were unresponsive last night. You can't have a dance party tonight.
That's crazy.
Yeah, well, because no one will ever believe it was me on the plane if I'm throwing a dance party tonight. I mean, it was perfect. I mean, for PR for him.
Yeah, that's insane.
What do you mean? I was brought down by? I had a dance party the next night. You idiot!
I know it.
You couldn't do that if you OD'd the night before. Come on, wake up!
And when you think of your Prince and you went through all that shit and you were zipped over to Moline and couldn't get a room and all, and got back on the plane and you know, and the doctor said on the way out, he is not in good shape. He needs to stay here.
That's right. That's right.
And so here he is. You know how he must have felt. These people that saw him when he got back home said he looked like, holy shit. And what does he do? Like, what, a couple days later? He does it again. And he ends up in the elevator. It's like, Prince,
I know.
When you take a couple of days off, take a day off.
Prince.
You know, what are you fucking doing?
I know. No,
he just almost died. Why don't you spend a few days with a strawberry shake, watch a little TV, you know, and kind of get past
strawberry
this.
Shake.
You know, I'm thinking of Nirvana. That's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, Kurt Cobain.
Kurt Cobain. Remember?
He won a strawberry shake when he woke up from his ID, OD in Rome. Yeah.
That's exactly
so
right.
Funny. Wow.
How's that for a callback?
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So, hey, but seriously, wouldn't you take it easy for a couple
you would
days?
Think so. I wouldn't throw a dance party the night after my OD. That's for sure.
And with all these visits with EMS, what part about taking drugs does Prince not understand?
Doesn't seem like he had a lot of experience with it.
I mean,
well, what about the line about save your prayers
for a couple days? Yeah,
save your.
What was that? Would that mean he was knew he was going to die? I mean, the whole thing—it's very Prince-like.
That's another strange thing. Yeah, save. I don't need your prayers just yet.
I want to move on from Prince.
That's really fucking weird.
I just have one more question.
Yeah, yeah.
Who are the people who they find out Prince dies and they go, "Oh my god, this guy just died. He's incredible, but I've never heard his music. I got to go to the record store and buy every album of his."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like number 2, 3, 5, and 7 this week, and it's the second week of charts since he died. Last week he was number 1. He's got 4 singles in the top 10. Who are the people that don't have Purple Rain that like Prince?
I don't know.
He's number 1 on iTunes.
Yeah, and it's these people that have just, I know this, boy, this Purple Rain looks like that was a big deal. I guess I'll get a copy of that. You know, it's like,
I think I'll buy the greatest hits of the B-sides.
Oh, he did that at the Super Bowl? Oh, well, I better get that. That looks like, that was pretty big. Seriously,
it happens every time someone dies.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if it's people who love the guy and go, well, I guess I'll break down and buy the rest of the catalog, or it's people that just go, oh, I've got to get a Prince CD because I just didn't appreciate him in life.
You would think most people would already have all the stuff.
Of course.
And if they didn't.
Just because he died, I mean, you didn't appreciate him for 1 minute of the 57 years he was alive.
And
all of a sudden
it.
He died. You must be buying a lot of music when people die.
And the thing of it is, don't worry, asshole. It's going to be available to you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Not to mention how much you can
run out and buy it
everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like it'll be there.
There was,
you know,
one other Prince thing I wanted to mention.
It's going
to
get really cool. While you look for that, it's going to be really cool. When they start digging into his vaults, which they're talking about a lot of music.
Oh, my
and
God.
Can you imagine some of the cool stuff? That fucker could play the guitar. And congratulations to SNL, too, by the way, for running an amazing overview of his career on SNL. It was fucking awesome.
That was fantastic. What was the song that you liked so much? And I saw the same song, and I said the same thing you did. That was wild. It was awesome.
Fury.
Was that the third song he played when Steve Martin
introduced
him?
I think it was from 2006. Damn thing, it just came on a record, 3121. It looks like there was only 4 singles on that record. It's really bizarre. It was released in England. I think it charted to number 60th on the UK charts. But it was never really released in the United States. I don't understand. And you talk about a Jimi Hendrix sound. I've never heard anybody sing and play a song that was so verbatim Jimi Hendrix. I mean, the licks and the writing, the lyrics, all of it was just reeked of Hendrix. And we have literally worn out our DVR playing this tune again and again and again. If you missed it, it is out there on YouTube. You can find it.
What's the comparison with him when Michael Jackson all the time? When the Jimi Hendrix comparison is so much more flattering
and
it makes so much more sense to me.
Yes, yes. This guy is so fucking sexy. And oh, God, the way he played that fucking song. The notes he was throwing around between the lyrics was just, and he had those dancers going, a great keyboard guy, great bass player. That whole thing came together on SNL.
Still trying to figure out why you said Prince is, this guy is so sexy.
Well, his music, because he had a way, man. When he separated his legs,
oh, the chicks loved him.
Guitar right against his balls, you know, and then went that.
I know, but he's wearing like a crop top that goes up to his boobs. Did you see that stupid crop top he was wearing with?
Well,
the
he went down
the
crop
side.
Top when
I was
I
like,
saw
what is that faggy? And I'm sorry to anybody who's gay. It was Femi. I'll call it Femi. That Femi two-piece he was wearing,
oh my God,
I was like, Prince, please. Yeah. He had some horrible outfits.
Well, there are people that should have been fired for the way they dress him, including the high heels.
I know, the high heels, which wrecked his hips, I guess.
Yeah, well, I believe it, you know. He just looked cool, man, when he was playing. Oh, man, what a tune. But go on YouTube and search on Fury and treat yourself to a tune you'll never forget.
Do you want to take a time out?
Sure.
Okay, here's the deal. It's the Drew and Mike Podcast. DrewandMikePodcast.com. Or if you want to drop us a line, anything at all, mail@DrewandMikePodcast.com. I got to show you the coolest thing that was done since Prince died, and then we're going to move on from Prince. There's a whole lot of other stuff we're going to have to get moving here. It's our first podcast. I hope you're digging it.
First
How about
one,
some
man.
Prince music for the break?
Yeah, got to.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, and we're back on the Drew and Mike Podcast, DrewandMikePodcast.com. If you want to send us a note, you can send it to mail@DrewandMikePodcast.com. We'll have some specific mailboxes. Well, we do, actually, but I won't trouble you with all those. Charlie LaDuff will be with us in a few days. Charlie's got a mailbox. Charlie's good tonight. And I might be flying solo tomorrow, but Mike will be back on Thursday.
Yes, sir.
Which will actually probably be on your computer Friday. This is really weird, figuring the scheduling out and when things will be available.
I know. It's a little rough for now. Hey, just bear with it. It'll all come together. And the bottom line is, because it is a podcast, it's out there. It's available. You can grab it whenever you feel like it. Watch it whenever you feel like it. A variety of places to, you know.
You're watching a blank screen, though, unfortunately, because we are a radio show. Wait, that was, and I'm open to changing my mind on that, but I really thought we didn't want to have video.
Yeah.
So it'd be like the old show.
Yeah. I think, too, you know, it's really cool how you can take these podcasts and run them through your radio in your car, which is very cool with a patch cord. Just feed it through aux and you're off to the races. It's really nice.
No, people, this is no big deal to some people. I'm sure a lot of people go, podcast? I want to hear Drew and Mike on my radio.
Yeah,
I don't know
how
to find a podcast. But
well, There's a way to get it on your radio.
Please help your brothers, your less technically inclined friends and brothers and sisters in finding what will hopefully be a wonderful podcast. We'll let you in more on our plans. We're hoping to do this for a while and make it work out so that it's, you know, if we can work without bosses in my basement for the next few years, that'd be fantastic.
It's always a good thing. No bosses, perfect. No FCC, perfect.
Yeah, well, yeah,
all of it.
I'm still getting used to that. I've only sworn a couple times. I guess I don't swear that much in real life.
Well, I swear like I don't know what in real life. So I've been a pretty big offender here so far. Although
the option is great. I love having the option because when something's bullshit, it should be called bullshit.
That's right. That's right. No other words will do.
As far as other stuff going on, you know, there's so much stuff I'd love to get caught up on since I last worked. But of the more recent variety, today, news, Justin Verlander is engaged to Kate Upton.
He is?
He's engaged.
It's coming together?
You sound shocked.
Oh, man. I don't know. For some reason, I thought that was going to fall apart.
And I know why you thought it was going to fall apart.
Well, I thought at one point he was going to kind of come to his senses and go, do I want to lock on contractually to a fat chick?
You know, you're not the only one.
She's got big boobs, but women that have big boobs tend to have big asses to go with it. She just strikes me as somebody that needs to peel 40.
Oh, my, 40 pounds. I mean, really?
Maybe 40 is a little intense, but she definitely needs to lose weight.
I think she's so cute. I really think she's cute.
Well, a lot of times that's true for
fat chicks.
They have great personalities. They're generally cute.
No, it's not her personality I like.
They have big tits.
I don't know her.
And yes, we can
like
say
her,
tits.
I like her big tits.
Yeah. Isn't that nice to say tits, by the way?
Yeah, I know. It is cool.
Yeah, finally.
Titty bar.
Yeah. And but, you know, and speaking of it, you know, seeing all the nude pictures of them, that's the other thing.
It freaks me out seeing his ass.
You know what? That's funny really you say that. Me. That has really bothered me, too. Ever since
I saw
that picture.
He's got a womanly-looking ass to me, too, doesn't he?
I'm glad.
Womanly?
You're all over it. You're all over it. I have told Trish from day one I saw it.
It's like they're ass twins.
He's got an all-white ass, and it's sort of a flat ass. It's like an abnormally flat, white, like snow white ass.
He needs to join the AFA for abnormally fat asses.
Yeah, yeah, or abnormally white asses, like abnormally pink, you know, wieners, the APWs. Yeah, abnormally
white pictures
ass.
Don't do anything for me. They really didn't. I mean, there's a couple of her that...
Yeah.
Once he's in the picture, it really bothers me. And, you know, she's... If she had a fat period, this was it, I'm afraid.
Yeah. By the way, that's a new... there we go. AWA, abnormally white ass. Yeah. But he has got a flat white ass in that picture of him standing there. Every time he pitches, when he's on the mound, I see that white ass on the mound. And I think, there's that ass. It's right behind those trousers.
You know, it looks like he's trying to look at his ass, too. It just, the way they're posed.
It's I know it.
You know, everyone wants to see our asses together. They look so much alike.
I know it.
That's it. Just right there, Kate. Oh, boy. Anyway, he's
a big un. She's a big un.
Maybe a long engagement?
Well, why wouldn't... Yeah, I would say that would be good. But
I really think she's cute. I really do. But I could see the potential for largesse.
Yeah.
That way.
Which is good because and a little surprising because I know you like your fat chicks.
Oh, come on. If she's as big as it gets, then I'll say I like fat chicks. I don't have a problem saying that about her. I think she's fine, man.
Well, a lot of people do. I mean, there's no question about that. But I would think with her background, I'm amazed that she's packed on as she has.
Yeah, she's a model. I know. That's
come on, get it together.
But she is
Kate.
Representing the more normal models. No, not the big models.
I'm waiting for her to be on QVC advertising for the XL girl.
The Lane Bryant line.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Hey, speaking of chicks, you know, it's funny. I've heard a lot about Jim Harbaugh's wife, but I've never seen her. And then today, I pick up the sports section. There's a story about this event in Ann Arbor, the women's softball team is putting on. Harbaugh's in a home run hitting championship against Rick Leach, which two competitive guys like that will probably be insane.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's Jim Harbaugh's wife who's involved with a charity, and she is really cute. You're going to like her. I'm just telling you right now. We'll put these on the website, hopefully, when we're done today. That's Mrs. Harbaugh, who's about 20 years younger than Jim. surprising.
Oh, yeah. She, now, there you go. There you go.
Now she's we're up in your wheelhouse.
Yes, sir. She, that's
throw Kate Upton out the window.
Yeah, that's real good. She's thin. She's nice. She's got a great body. Nice hair. Cute face. You can see, even though she's got those big glasses on. Sunglasses. She's got a cute face. Yeah.
If she can handle Jim Harbaugh, she's probably a cool chick, too, I bet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you know Jim Harbaugh would not be the easiest guy to. But he's a lot of fun. He'd be a fun guy. Not that I want to marry him, but.
Yeah.
Well, not yet, anyway. Then with the national championship, I might think twice.
But guys tend to be a little bit different when they're being overseen by a hot chick, and she certainly is. Wow.
Being overseen?
Very nice. Well, being.
I know what you mean.
Looked after, attached to, what have you.
He takes more crap at home than he does anywhere else. Is that what you mean?
Thank you.
Yeah,
you put it far better than I was able to, but you nailed it.
Okay, where to from here? A couple things. One, this transgender bathroom thing is driving me a little bit batshit.
I know. And you know what?
Is this one of the most unnecessary things you've ever seen? And yet we're about to kick North Carolina out of the union because they've passed a law about where transgender people, what bathroom they're supposed to use. If you're born with a dick, you go in the men's room. If you're born with a vag, you go in the ladies' room. Okay?
That's simple.
End of story.
It's that simple.
It's not hard to understand why either. It's because, you know, there's probably a lot of creepy men, creepy old men.
Count on it.
Hey, I can go to the ladies' room now. I just got to dress like a woman. And
oh, yeah. They don't even have to do that in some cases.
But we've never really had big problems with bathrooms. Of course, there's always creep stories here and there, but it's not like we're being overrun by transgenders going in the wrong bathroom.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to piss on transgendered people, you know, or, God, people have to boycott the podcast.
Yeah. Well, I still say, though, guys use the guys' bathroom, girls use the girls' bathrooms, and that's that. I don't think you can open up to people. I mean, there are enough perverts out there and enough creepy guys, and it's not like every time there's a creepy event that goes on that you're going to hear about in the media either. I'm sure there's plenty of times when women have been horrified that some guy walks out of the female bathroom just before they enter, or they're in the bathroom and a dude walks in for a second and leaves, and I mean, they have.
Well, how about the guys just sticking their cameras under the stall for a little upskirt action,
right,
maybe?
Right,
I mean,
right.
There's just a lot of creepy crap.
There is a lot of creepy crap. And I'll tell you, if I was a woman and I was in the female bathroom and some guy just walks in, I would be horrified. I really would. I wouldn't, you know, what
but I'm in the middle of my reassignment surgery.
Like, hey,
relax. Just because I say that, do I carry an ID around that says that I'm in the middle of my transgender? Yeah. I mean, how does anyone know?
Well, that's just it. We need to prove it. Hey, drop your pants before we go five more feet into this.
To act like there's not another
gender.
To act like there's no second side to this is what pisses me off. This is a debatable subject. There's no need for North Carolina to lose every bit of revenue they've ever had, or lose every bit of new business they could ever get, or every concert they could ever see. And by the way, I don't know if I like this stuff, and I love Bruce Springsteen. I saw his show here. It was fantastic. But, you know, Bruce really started this thing by saying he wouldn't play North Carolina.
Yeah.
Canceling a show there. And, you know, is it really fair to people that like rock and roll that they can't see his show because, you know, there's a debate about transgendered people and where they should use the restroom? We all want the right thing there. I think people are okay with this.
Oh, God. I can't believe that he would even get involved in it.
I thought it was a little much. I really didn't.
Then
Ringo
anything.
Did the same, and a bunch of other people did the same.
Oh, God.
And meanwhile, this is funny. I think you'll get a laugh out of this. The American Family Association, not one of my favorite operations, they did. They tried to get people to run an FCC campaign against us a number of years ago.
Yep.
They used to put clips of our show up on their website, and you could just click, and it would send a complaint to the FCC. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, real nice. That was real nice of them.
I remember finding out about that about a year after they'd been doing it, and we were being faced with some FCC complaints. And it's like, how is this happening? Where are all these? And they were all on Saturday morning when they ran Best Of.
That's right.
Because, hey, if there's anything wild those guys do, it'll always be on the Saturday replay show.
That's right.
So somebody figured that out. So anyway, I'm thinking, oh, how many other complaints are there in the hopper now that I just found out about this? Mm-hmm. I mean, those were sweaty times.
Yeah, they were.
Anyway, they did something that I almost appreciate here, and I'm not, believe me, and by any means I want to align myself with the Reverend Donald Wildman or the AFA, but they have started a boycott of Target, because Target...
Oh, I know, Target. That's the big one, yep.
They've just decided that their bathrooms and fitting rooms that anyone can use, men, women, everyone, just have at it. Use whatever bathroom you want.
I know it. I know
men
it.
And women will be perfectly comfortable. Anybody can go anywhere. And so they're targeting... They are asking people to boycott Target because of this. In other words, they're obviously on the other side of the argument that transgenders should use the bathroom they're comfortable with.
Yeah, right.
They're of the opinion that people should use the bathroom that the gender they were born in uses. And I know this is really complicated to talk about. Well, it's not simple.
Why would Target all of a sudden have to make themselves the target of this entire...
Well, they were trying to be cool. They were trying to do the quote-unquote right thing. But
I would have just left it alone. I mean, all of a sudden, they're walking point for the whole issue.
I think the whole thing could have been left alone. Oh, was it really a problem where transgender people use the bathroom? Have you ever been upset? Hey!
No.
You weren't born with a dick. Get out of the men's room.
I know.
Or, you know, I don't think you're really having a sexual assignment surgery. You get out of here. You should be in the ladies' room.
Yeah, I know. And when Target started with that, I thought, what the fuck, you know? And I want to know how many applications have there been for Target charge cards now when this news came out, where they just flooded.
Because people want to use, people want to go wild in the fitting and dressing
rooms. Yeah, that's right.
That's
right. People go ape shit. I'll tell you who's really happy about this. Chuck fucking Berry. Chuck Berry had an orgasm from hell upon hearing the news of this. He can't wait to go to Target and sit down there on the nearest toilet next to a chick and just sit there and get off while she builds a 10,000-square-foot log cabin in the toilet bowl.
Who are these guys that want to watch women go to the bathroom?
I know
that really destroys it for me. It's like, that comes out of there, too?
Gross. Oh, I know it. That's right. That's where we never realized that those things were actually operational. I always thought poopers were for looks.
And who knows, maybe women watch videos of men using the urinals, too, when that certain small group of women said, oh, that's where pee comes from. I'm not touching it. I'm putting that in my mouth.
Oh, God.
I've heard that quote. Not to me directly, but somebody's telling me a story.
It's so funny having this conversation after being away from you for 3 years.
I know.
I'm trying to think of the last time I had such a conversation. I don't remember talking to Trish about this anytime recently. Although we did talk about
Target. It's good to get out of the house.
Yeah, we did talk about this. So we did talk about Target.
Oh, yes.
We did talk about this whole transgender thing, which is so out of hand. Everything is so fucking out of hand.
Well, the fact that there's a punishment, you know, for anyone who doesn't do the right thing, there's a punishment that's just ready to go. Everyone just boycott. Boycott the entire state, damn it.
Oh, I know it.
Who cares about all the people who might get jobs there who have nothing to do with this transgender issue?
I know it.
And I'm not even trying to be insensitive to transgender people.
Oh, God. Everybody falls all over all those groups. Everybody's scared, everybody's scared shitless not to.
You're right.
For fear that they'll be taken down like a rodeo calf, you know?
And, you know, I sympathize with people. I do feel that, you know, people who are gay are born gay. People who are transgender, people who feel they're in the wrong gender, you would not change your genital parts if you didn't feel extremely strongly that you were clearly, you know, with the wrong equipment. I just don't think people go, you know what, I think I want a dick. Or, you know what, I think I want to have a vagina. I think it'd be really cool just to try it out.
Let's hope so. Nothing like an indecisive person.
Hey, there are people
who want to be a man or a woman.
There are people who have changed sexes twice. And change back. That does happen. Can you believe that?
Oh, what a mess.
I know. What a mess that
it's gotta be
pile
a mess.
Of genitals has to be.
I know. And we've yet to see a picture of any surgeries that have actually been the first time through done perfectly.
I don't think I've ever seen the results.
No.
Is there a website where you can look at what happens when they change?
Looks like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, in different stages.
Have you seen this before?
No.
I haven't either.
No.
I don't know if I want to.
I don't think I do.
I heard someone talking about this who was saying that the female to male is really the difficult one, that you end up with like a 1-inch penis and it really doesn't look like a penis.
Oh, definitely. I'm sure
it's
that's
really
the
rough.
Case. And how rough to get it so that it's operational and it springs to life. But I mean, we all know all the different things about the male organ that make it rather unique.
Well, yeah, it's very special. It's not something you can just create.
That's right.
It's not something easily created.
You can't throw that together. You know, it's of cold pool water and what that does to it and all these different things that go on with our units.
Well, look at what your parts are, your spare parts.
That's
you're dealing with the vagina. You're making it into a penis.
Yeah, that's easy enough. any surgery. I can do that surgery. Just put in a club cover and sew it in and you're done.
Jay just brought up. Oh, I don't know, Jay.
Oh, God. I don't know if I want to see
it. If I were a girl, I don't think that's... No. I hate to be a dick about it, but...
Oh.
That's a... It's about a 2-inch penis and the...
Oh, boy.
The part where, you know, you have the really special contouring where that surgery's done day one of your life.
Yes.
The circumcision.
Yes.
That part is really... It's a mess.
It's a mess.
It's and I don't know
that's
if it's an average
don't see
thing
pictures.
Or... Yeah,
no. That's why I don't see pictures.
I've always felt that way,
and I think that's the. And I think what they're doing is basically really putting the man in the canoe through a lot of trauma.
Oh, no question. To go from there to there, really?
Yeah, they're trying to. They're trying to build a giant in the canoe, and the canoe's going to tip over, and it usually does.
There'd be some pretty competitive people to attempt that.
But listen, what is the percentage of transgender? I mean, even with the gay community. I've always heard that represents 3 to 5% of the country, and
gay,
yeah.
I think I believe
always
that.
Heard that transgender. I mean,
it's not even 0.5% It can't be, right?
Yeah, and that's just it. And that's my point. I mean, given the just the gnashing.
Oh, Jay,
of
can you please get off of that? Yes. Jay's bringing too many pictures up.
The gnashing of teeth and
over transgender when it's such a small group.
Oh,
I know.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you know. Can we just cut it out? And it becomes, when you consider all the things facing this country and all the things that are really, really important, you know, it's like, really? Is this that high in the, I mean, so often if you talk to some of the youth out there, I mean, that's what they're going to be more engrossed about is transgender awareness, more than the fact that, did you know about Iran and the bomb? And I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, and ISIS?
Who the vice president is? I don't know. ISIS, what's that? You know, I mean, nobody's got the economy.
Well, yeah, the millennials are very hip to issues like that. Mm-hmm. And it's funny how many millennials know a transgendered person. I could not believe the numbers when I saw this. They were talking about people in their 40s and 50s, and most would say they've never met a transgendered person.
Yeah.
When you poll a 19-year-old or a 21-year-old.
Yeah.
It's like 60% know a transgendered person.
Wow.
Because they either are more inclined to try to identify someone and maybe make them comfortable, or it's just, I don't know, maybe it probably is happening a lot more, too, in their age group.
Yeah.
It's becoming, it seems like it's one of every three people now when you're dealing with 20-year-olds.
It seems like if you didn't know any better, you'd almost think that 60% of the country was gay and 45%.
Or we're going to excommunicate a state over it, for crying out loud, over which bathroom to use. Yes, it just seems insane to me that this needs to get so hyper over this law. Can't we just fight out the law and try to get the right thing done before we declare that, no, this side is right and that's that and it has to be this way and you get no jobs, no concerts, no nothing until you agree.
Oh, God. It's just like the
then when you agreed kicking and screaming. Is that good enough? Nope, that's not good enough either. You still get no concerts.
No, that's right. That's right. It's just so. It's just like what was going on with this business of cakes in the stores. You know what I mean? I mean, finding these little cake
people
shops.
That didn't want to make a wedding cake for a gay couple.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know what? Can you just
go out of business?
Can you just not? Why don't you just go down the street, find another cake place, and they'll do it. I mean, if somebody's that dug in, they don't want to do it, fuck it. You know?
I know. You really can't get a cake. Shit. You can't find anyone to make you a cake.
Yeah.
So you got to go after this one person.
You have to picket them and protest and bring the media in there and destroy the business and freak out all the customers so that nobody goes near the place and they're fucked with all their sales and
everyone
somebody's
is not...
dream goes up in smoke to have a store and fuck. I mean, go down the street and just go to another fucking place to make you the cake.
Everyone has to think the right way.
Yeah.
Everyone must think the same.
You must think like
and
me.
There's only one way to think, and if it's not that way, then you go to North Carolina and
you're
going to build a barbed wire fence
That's
around
right.
the state and
That's
starve
right.
all of you.
That's what gets me. If it's not your way, there is no other way than your way. There is no other way of thinking except your way of thinking. That's what gets me.
I always thought it could at least you could claim it was your religion or it was somehow attached to religion, and that would give you a buy.
Yeah.
In that particular case, but you know, when you mentioned Chuck Berry, it made me think of something, and I've been dying to bring this up. In fact, it was like, God, I wish the podcast would hurry up. This story's getting almost too old to talk about. The cop with the iPhone spying on the breastfeeding mom.
Okay.
You happen to hear about this?
No.
This is quite a story. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Ma.
Jay, by the way, Jay Timko, our engineer, who's worked hundreds of hours, it seems, helping us get this studio up and ready to go and sounding halfway decent.
Tirelessly.
And we are a work in progress, by the way. We should have, at some point, we'll be able to use a phone to call out, and then we hope to have calls coming in. We've got TVs hooked up through the board. We've got the internet through the board. We could watch some TV, too, 2020 Friday night with...
That'll be terrific.
David Miscavige's father.
Yeah.
From the Church of Scientology.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
His father's written a book.
Wow, what a story.
About what a creep his kid is running the Church of Scientology. And at the beginning, they showed that weird thing where Tom Cruise is in that uniform.
Oh, I know
introducing
it.
How freaky that is.
Oh, God, are these strange.
And they're both about 5'2".
Yeah.
Cruise and Miscavige. Yeah, they're best friends.
They are. That's right. I never thought about that. They are. They're two little men.
Yeah, they're little men, and they're feeling every inch they're missing, too.
Yeah,
they're really
right.
Feeling it.
It's a problem. There is something to that syndrome, apparently. At least for them, it is.
Okay, here's the story. It's Hazel Park Police, and where should I start? The way this works is, I guess I just have to
read. By the way, I wish I had a butt mic for you, and I just don't yet, but for all those of you that are on the edge of your seat waiting, if it could happen, Butt Mike would love to say hello. If not today, then some other day.
I'm sure he'll find a way.
But Mike, we'll be along. Don't worry.
Okay, you've got a couple. The woman is pregnant.
All right.
They're fiancés. They're engaged to be married. They're engaged to be married. And the male gets arrested by Hazel Park Police. And this was for, I think it was a pot deal. Yeah, it was a drug case.
Okay.
So his phone is seized. His iPhone is seized. And I don't know, by the way, I don't know what the laws are regarding the iPhone. Do you have to get a search warrant to look in someone's iPhone? And people's entire lives are in their phone. That seems
I know,
like
that's
a very
true
important
too.
Issue for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's true, man. Oh, boy. People's lives are on their iPhone. That's a fact.
So the iPhone goes into evidence, or so we think, and everyone goes back to their lives. And the woman, the day after the arrest, she's home nursing her baby, because she has a baby. Oh, I was saying she was pregnant. No, she has a baby. That's right. She has a small baby. She's nursing the baby. Both mom and the baby just come out of the bathtub and were nude while she's nursing the baby. And this is the weird thing. I always thought it was kind of weird. Do people nurse their kid when they're nude? I always figured they were dressed
bathtub,
and they just kind of pulled their top up.
And leave it at that.
But if you were coming out of the bathtub, would you breastfeed your kid nude or would you get partially dressed?
I would wait to get dressed and then do it. I figure the kid can cry and carry on and wait a little bit longer for me to get dressed before I feed him.
It just seems weird that everyone's nude.
I know.
The baby's nude. I don't know. Are babies usually nude when they breastfeed? I mean, it doesn't matter.
They're nude a lot.
Okay.
A
anyway, lot. I just thought it was weird.
Probably chances are the baby would be nude.
The fact that the woman was completely
although
nude
you do take the risk
seemed odd.
Remember, without the diaper, you do take the risk.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I was thinking of. The kid is going to take a whiz going to have some diarrhea or something.
You're
nude, so now it's all over you.
That's right. That's right. You got
to have a towel or anything.
Oh, God. That would be awful. Explosive diarrhea from a baby.
Oh, God.
Gross.
Oh, babies can do unbelievable work, can't they?
Oh, I know it. And the stench. Oh, fuck.
Well, she's breastfeeding her baby. She notices a small green light flashing on her Nest Cam monitor, her baby monitor. That meant the camera was being monitored by a designated device, such as a cell phone or an iPad.
Okay.
So apparently her husband, you know, on his iPhone had the ability to look in on things.
Yeah, people,
A lot of people have that. You know, there's that doorbell thing where you can see who's at your, ringing your doorbell when you're not home, which I think is a great idea.
Oh, very good idea. It's amazing, really, the monitoring, the things that you can do to monitor things like the baby rooms and stuff like that, using phones and all that. The technology really is amazing out there.
So shortly after she saw the light flashing, it occurred to Ms. Pierce that she was being watched while she breastfed her child.
Oh.
She conducted a Find My iPhone search, which traced the location of the cell phone. Because she knows it's her fiancé's phone, not her phone. They did a search, you know, Find My Phone for his phone.
Yeah.
Because his phone was the only one missing. She's got her phone.
Okay.
And what do you know? They drive up to a house. It's at the house. Whose house is this? Oh, my gosh. It turns out it's the officer who arrested her fiancé. It's his house.
Oh, what?
What do you think of that?
Whoa.
How about that?
Oh, brother.
So the officer apparently didn't have time to get the phone in evidence, just decided he'd take it home and,
yeah,
maybe, you know, go on the phone, find out what he does with that phone.
Yeah, take it upon himself to make sure everything stays good. And...
does he find some connection to this bust he committed? No, he finds his fiance breastfeeding the baby nude.
Ooh.
And this was the, when she saw the light flashing, by the way, it was the, I think it was the third or second time she had seen that.
God
then
almighty.
Then she went back home, tried to disable the phone's monitoring capability, but saw the Nest Cam light flashing again. She's on the phone with her brother. She sat there momentarily in shock and then cried out to her brother, "Oh my God, someone's watching me again!" The lawsuit states. Seconds later, the light stopped flashing.
Ah. Oh,
isn't that bizarre?
That's
now
right.
She knows he's listening
that's
to her.
That's right. That's right.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
The Peeping Tom detective had been discovered.
Oh.
So she's now come up with an invasion of privacy lawsuit alleging the officer violated her civil rights by perversely and illegally spying on her and her infant son to satisfy his prurient voyeurism.
Ooh. Ooh. Ouch.
She lives in constant fear that the footage from the Nest Cam will wind up on the internet. I don't blame her.
Oh, God. Yeah, really. Everything ends up on the internet. What doesn't end up on the internet? God.
I know. It's.
What was he thinking? I mean, boy.
I know.
Boy,
I guess he didn't know the monitor would show, you know, a light would pop on when someone was watching. But, it does.
He considered that Find My Phone feature.
Yeah, that was his big mistake, wasn't it?
Oh, clearly. Huge, yeah. Absolutely.
But, you know, this was the third time he had done this. You would think maybe the first time would have been enough. He could have relived that mental microfiche he had of her nude.
Yeah, but you see, the strength of chick nude, the voyeuristic thing is...
the pull was pretty huge.
Too much, too much for the average man to bear.
So there you go. Yeah, I thought it was quite a story.
That is messy. So you got to, he must not be sleeping very well lately.
You know what's weird?
Yikes.
His sergeant, whoever runs the police department, whatever that level is, was saying that they're looking into it.
They
really made it sound like it wasn't, they didn't think it was a big deal.
Oh, of course. Yeah, right. Should have tried to play it down.
I would think you would want to get to the bottom of that damn thing.
Yeah,
I mean,
you would think.
Don't you want to hear that guy say, "We will find out who was watching that woman on her monitor, and we will find out immediately."
Yeah, we'll get to the bottom.
We'll also find out why her fiance's phone was at the officer's house, because that's bullshit.
Yeah, they're already trying to brush it under the rug. Oh man, yeah, that's not the response I would have had. That's for sure. You would want to come up with something like that. Believe me, we'll get to the bottom of this. We'll take care of this and find out what in the hell is going on. Looking at it here, it doesn't look good, but hey, there's two sides to every coin, so we'll check into it.
I just realized we wholly intended to start this week, and one of the reasons we want to start the podcast, and yes, you're listening to the Drew and Mike podcast, drewandmikepodcast.com. You probably already know that. Drop us a line. Tell us, of course, I get a cold for the first podcast. I cannot get over the fact that I didn't sleep very well the last couple of nights. I was so excited about the podcast, and now I've worked myself up into a cold, so my apologies for that.
Yeah, well, the cold's going around big time.
But drop us a note, mail at drewandmikepodcast.com. Send us an email. Love to hear what you want out of the podcast. When will you be listening to the podcast? How will you be using it? Any information we can get will be very helpful. And I know you watch the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I certainly did.
I love it. I look forward to it every year.
Yeah.
Something about seeing rock stars humbly so happy and excited and pleased with their achievement. I mean, usually they're so busy being cool, but you really see a lot of emotion out of these guys and a lot of genuine, really heartfelt emotions at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame ceremonies. I really enjoy this. I don't know. It's just
they have a lot
the inductions are always good.
Yep. They really, truly are having fun.
Yeah, no, MTV, it's a blast. Grammys, it's a total blast. I'd love to go.
Yeah, it seems like it's a whole different thing. It really is. People are pretty relaxed, carrying on.
The performances are always good, too. They
always great.
Time rehearsing and the combinations they put together. Yep. And a lot of times I see bands, maybe didn't even like that band or appreciate them, but they'll really kick some ass at the R&R HOF.
Yeah, definitely. And you know what's cool is that, we've had Kid Rock in the studio at Riff many, many times, and always great, always down to earth, always a lot of fun to talk to on and off the air. And
He's always a part of this thing.
Yeah, and for right, he always is, and he always gets involved in that stuff and just has a good time. And I had his email address from years ago. And
I cannot believe what you're about to tell me.
I know. I could believe.
This blew my mind.
I know. And I just, you know, one day I wrote him and I, I remember.
It's like a month ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. Originally he gave me his, get this. Originally he gave me his email address because I told him about flying over his house and showed him the pictures of his house in the air. And he thought that was really cool. And he says, you know what, man? He says, next time you're going to fly over my house, let me know. I'm going to go out there and moon you and get a picture of me mooning you when you fly over the house. And he said, I'm in California right now. I missed you. So that was really cool. Well, anyway, a lot of time goes by. And I wrote him, and I just for the hell of it asked him how he was doing, how's life and all this. And he came back, and he answered me. He answered me in, like, probably less than 5 minutes.
What? I didn't know it was in five minutes.
Yeah, it was that fast. It was almost like a text message.
I mean, didn't you feel, wasn't there a party that said, wait a second, I'm just Mike. You don't answer me in 5 minutes. You come and you go, I don't know if I want to answer that.
I'll get around to it later maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And he was so nice and how you doing? And I want to say some of the stuff that he said about the other shows out there. But anyway, he loved our radio show, and he really misses us. And he was just so gracious and wonderful about all those compliments. And then he went on to say how things are going great with him, and that he's jacked because he's going to induct a Cheap Trick at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And then from there, he goes to Nashville to work in studio for a while. So that was really cool. And so I was so aware of that with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame coming up. And then you and I were texting, and I mentioned it to you, and you had the date when it was going to air, and which was great. So when Bobby went up there to induct Cheap Trick, it was so great. And first of all, what he said about Cheap Trick, boy, that's a guy you want inducting, you, man, because he has a way of putting things. He described Cheap Trick in a way that I don't think anybody could describe in the way he did. And with the garage band and the nonstop working band, and how, go figure, they've got three more gigs this week after this induction.
That was great.
Oh, yeah.
I think we got a little piece of it.
His gestures and everything else. But when he took off talking about the stuff that went on earlier that night, it was priceless.
Oh, who knew the Chicago drummer was so cool?
Yes. And about that. I forget that rapper that had said about your kids.
Oh, yeah.
You have it there?
N.W.A.
Yeah, and he said, like, who
would
have
stay
thought,
in school?
Who would have thought that we'd have N.W.A. saying to stay in school? And then it was so fucking funny when he comes out and he says something to the effect of, I don't have my notes, I have my notes, but I don't know where they are.
About drugs?
Yeah, and he comes out, it was so great. And the way he stared at the camera and said, I'm here to tell you, since we're being real tonight, I'm here to tell you that... that kids don't use drugs or you will fuck up your life. And the camera zooms in on him. He goes silent. The sentence really, it just drilled a hole in everybody's brain. It was like really strongly delivered. And then he said, or if you do, who knows? Maybe you could join a rock band, fuck a bunch of hot chicks, write a bunch of great songs, and have a great time, you know? Nah, whatever, what do I know? And it was so funny and so outrageous.
Well, you knew the whole thing was off the cuff, too. That was the speech. He was sort of doing the awards so far by observations.
Yes.
He was right on. He made a comment about Lars, too, in his speech, which was really good.
That's right. That's right, talking about Lars and how cool and all that stuff. And it was, I mean, when are you going to have a guy stand up there and say, don't do drugs, but if you do, you might just become a rock star, and get rich, fuck a bunch of hot chicks, and write a lot of great songs. And two, I could feel his pain because he wanted a cigarette so bad. And he said, this Nicorette gum sucks. And he throws it out. And then he takes his gesturing like, rawr! Like his body's like driving him crazy. He's dying for a cigarette so bad. And he's just so real. He is just so down to earth and such a real guy, you know. All those rock star trappings are so non-existent with him.
No,
I just thought in that moment, Drew, he owned that whole moment there. I really did on that show. And Cheap Trick tore the place up.
They were fantastic.
Oh, God. Did they fucking tear it up.
They nailed Surrender. They nailed yes. I Want You to Want Me. The yes. guitar work. God, oh. I love the way. Oh, what's his name?
He that, play
Robin Zander's a singer. The oh damn it,
what's wild white hat and all that stuff. And,
oh, Rick Nielsen. Rick Nielsen. Yeah, he is so good. God, he was killing it.
God,
I was
damn.
Like, somebody else is playing guitar. There's got to be another guitar player here. They're getting so much great guitar sound. That's yeah. really, is that really just two guys? Because Robin Zander wasn't playing all that much.
Mm-hmm.
God, they sounded so
Isn't
good.
Isn't that something?
And the lead singer's voice is still great. The background yes. vocals were great. Everything was great.
Yes.
Got some audio there?
You've got here we three go. More we
got,
gigs.
Got
this.
Some things working here.
Yeah, nice.
So glad these guys went in, too. I love Cheap Trick.
Yeah.
Big Beatles fans.
Yeah.
They played a great... with John Lennon, when Lennon was doing Double Fantasy, they were called in to try and rock up I'm Losing You.
Yeah.
They kill it. They absolutely kill it. You can find that, Jay. It's on the box set. The John Lennon box set, I'm Losing You with Cheap Trick. And it just so, I mean, the song is a great song to start with.
Wow.
But it's just not the same as it is with Cheap Trick. They just really rev that thing up.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and like Kid was talking about, like, you know, all the energy put forth to perform all these gigs and then do the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, get inducted, all that stuff, and then turn right around and do three more gigs that week. Incredible it's stamina total for
total
these
madness.
Guys.
And, you know, Kid really nailed it in the induction speech, too. They could not get it right in the studio. Their first couple studio albums, a lot of great notices about, you know, this is a really good band. They're just trying to, something's not right here, but they'll get it, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it was the third album they did better on, but it wasn't until Live at Budokan that people really, I mean, that record sold, I think it was platinum three or four times.
Yeah.
And then the record after that, I believe, was the studio album where they finally nailed it. There we go. I'm Losing
wow.
You.
Here in some
I wish you'd see this cool video I'm watching, Mike. It's a cartoon version of Cheap Trick with Lennon.
Oh, gotcha.
Really cool. What would Lennon have done had he been around the last 35 years?
I know it. God, it's so true. All these people that have passed on, that just haunts me, really.
I feel the same way. I mean, you know that John and Paul would have done something together. It would have been great.
Oh, yeah. Between John Lennon, Jimi Hendrix, now Prince, so many of these people, it's just... heartbreaking, really. Heartbreaking.
The difference with Lennon, though, is he was assassinated by just a complete loser, nerd, tool.
Damn shame.
Complete jackass.
God.
You know, they had a nice list of the bands that aren't in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame yet. And some that specifically are believed not to be in and are never going in because of just politics.
Oh.
Ted Nugent is the one that comes up number one on that list.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, there's, you know, this really sucks, but there are politics with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Something,
if you are,
isn't there politics anymore?
You know, isn't it pathetic?
It's gotten to the point where there's politics in everything anymore.
I think there's a lot of people who, they're almost political about friends, like, oh, you know what, I don't want to hang out with them, they're right-wingers.
Oh, definitely.
They're too liberal, I don't want to be around them, I don't want
to
hear their
true.
Liberal crap.
That's happened out there.
First of all, anyone who wants to bring up their politics all the time when they're making new friends, I think is an idiot.
Yep, that's not where you want to go.
It's a good way to piss off about half the people you're going to meet.
Yep, and people are so supercharged one way or the other on whatever they believe. And it's clear by now.
Some a lot more than others.
I think it's clear by now. Whatever people believe, they're going to believe it no matter what. If you're out to change somebody's attitude, forget it. You're not going to change their attitude. If you believe they should see it this way.
Oh, no, no, no. You're not going to change it one bit.
So there's no point. There's no point. But I just can't believe how it's just reached the point where literally friendships over many years have been detonated over politics lately. And I never would have thought something like that could ever be the case, but it is.
Of these bands, which I'll read a list. You tell me which one of these should most be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Actually, they're all pretty good cases, I would say. But Yes is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Huh. Genesis. There's a real thing against progressive rock.
Genesis would have been in by now.
Peter Gabriel's in, and I think Phil Collins is in.
Oh, all right.
But I don't think Genesis is in. There seems to be a bias against prog rock, because the Moody Blues aren't in.
I see.
And there's a couple others in that arena, too. The Cars are not in. Huh. Janet Jackson's in it. Fuck Janet Jackson. I don't care about Janet Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck her.
Rock and roll.
Keep her out.
Yeah, that's right. Again,
there's enough Jacksons everywhere.
The whole definition of it, too, has always been a problem anyway. This Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and then you have, she's not rock and roll.
No, she's not.
We've been down that street a million times arguing
there
about
that. There are some that there's some Motown acts that got in I was really happy about just because I felt they were great artists. And maybe, Smokey Robinson's not really a rock guy, but my God, he wrote so many great songs. For other people at Motown and for himself. The Spinners along that line. Chaka Khan, same thing. Nine Inch Nails. The Smiths. B-52s. I can't believe the B-52s aren't in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Mm. I'm really surprised. Boy. Athens Band along with R.E.M. and a couple others. Joe Cocker?
Joe Cocker
is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Are you kidding me?
Brother, that's unreal. Oh, that's a drag.
I will fully admit, proudly, I wish Devo were in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That was a truly unique act.
Boy.
The Raspberries, The Replacements. I love The Replacements. Just read a book about The Replacements. Love those guys. I don't know if it's right in their makeup to be in the Rock. They're not supposed to be honored. It's not their shtick. T-Rex, Todd Rundgren, Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh, that's unbelievable to me. I don't. How can that?
There again, I would have assumed that he would have was in there.
Well, he died. I mean, that alone would lift him up two notches, and he didn't need to be lifted up two notches.
Oh, man.
Jimmy Buffett, Warren Zevon, Journey, Ted Nugent, Grand Funk, Styx, and Stone Temple Pilots.
Wow.
Stone Temple Pilots, I would assume, will go. Grand Funk, why would Grand Funk not be in there? All those hits they had?
I have no idea. Wow. A lot of those bands, I just assumed were in there.
Yeah, I would have thought they were, too. If you asked me if they were in there, I would have said yes.
Oh, man. That's really... I don't get it. I don't know who's making those decisions.
Oh, there's a board of some kind, and,
My God, how long does it take to wise up to this stuff?
Some of those, I'm sure, will get in. Maybe they all will. Some after they die, probably, which is too late.
Ray Vaughan, I mean, that's got to be the very next one. Give me a break.
I would think Todd Rundgren would be in there. First of all, Todd has a lot of great material himself, but he produced a lot of good bands, too. He produced Aerosmith on some of their big records. Mm-hmm. He's produced a ton of people, and he's a real progressive guy. He's always moving forward, works with a lot of different people.
Mm-hmm.
And he had some hits, too. And... I guess that's about it from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Drew and Mike in our first podcast. Welcome.
Yeah,
thank you for going to the trouble to find us. Tell your friends. Hopefully this is a nice arrangement. We plan to do. And again, I want to apologize for my cold. I'm so pissed I got a cold. Mike is going to do two of these a week, and I'm going to carry the ball the rest of the way. Charlie LaDuff wants to do some of these. Now, Charlie said he would do a couple a week. I don't know if he's going to be able to do a couple a week, but I've got some other people that you may recognize who will be coming in from time to time. And then I may just carry the ball by myself. I can't get anybody to come over.
I'll just
do it myself. Don't want to be all by myself. How did that song become so big? I mean, it's the sappiest song.
I don't know.
Eric Carmen from the Raspberries.
Yeah.
When I was young, I never needed anyone. I mean, that's just outright pathetic.
I know. But we'll figure it out.
Young, he liked being alone when he was young, but then he...
I never needed anyone.
You're pathetic.
Mm.
Making love was just for fun.
Oh, Lord.
Making love
just for fun.
Those days are gone.
Take yourself a little more seriously.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Making love isn't for fun anymore, huh? It's a job.
All the friends have known.
But when I dial the telephone, nobody's home.
Nobody's home.
God, you can't buy a
pathetic ass.
Jeez.
Go fuck yourself.
Just go finish it in the yard. Here's a 45. I'll see you later. Yeah.
How did this become such a big hit? It was a huge hit.
Oh, no. I need some friends.
Oh, the Raspberries had the biggest hair possibly of any band ever.
Uh-uh.
They weren't even around for the hair bands. They were pre-hairband hair bands.
That's saying a lot. There was some mighty tall hair out there.
They had gigundous, I mean, just gigundous hair. Oh, my.
Well, but we'll figure this thing out as we go. And,
yeah, we will.
And it'll flow this way and that till we kind of get it together. And schedules get figured out and...
But you're getting another one this week, so we will have a second Drew and Mike show this week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Charlie is scheduled for Friday, so there'll be three this week at least. And then as we get into a routine, that's the other part, just getting into a routine, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Figuring out what days this – yeah, exactly. And then I guess figuring out when – I guess as time goes along, when a certain file becomes available, right, for people to pull down and look at.
Sure.
I mean, I just get that. People write already. They've been writing – about that sort of thing, like well, when would it be available? When I get it? Those things will all be worked out. Just hey, fly loose right now. Just stay loose, and it'll all come together. And by the way, before I forget, all the Facebook friends that I've had ever since losing the gig at Riff. Hey, listen, man, thank you so much, all of you people, 5,000 people, man. And that have been following and talking about our show and about us and never missing a birthday for me or just all the events that happened in my life that weren't so good, that they're all right there with their sympathies. And you people have been absolutely incredible, incredible people. And I thank you for it. And they just haven't missed a beat, all of them. They haven't missed anything. I mean, every time the anniversary of the coffee spill, boom, right there.
I know.
The garage door, bam, right there with the garage door. I mean, every event that ever took place during our run at Riff is right there. Nobody forgets anything. And people talking in drops, people sending me, I don't know how many times, salads, pictures of salads and things like that. But you people are really good, all of you guys and girls. Thank you very much for your great loyalty and love of us and our show and what we were able to accomplish and for ourselves and for all of you, and I'm glad you enjoyed it. And hopefully we can do something here you'll love just as much.
I was thinking of you as I was falling asleep in my muffin the other night. I had a giant muffin, and I was really tired. I think I'd gotten up and wandered to the kitchen and just went, oh, I think I want this, even though it's like 2 in the morning. And so I brought it in the living room, sat down in front of the TV, and the next thing you know, I was like head first into the muffin.
Oh.
And it was like, where am I? Oh, my God, I'm in my muffin.
Oh,
it's like,
man.
I know exactly how he felt. And then I did it a second time. Oh, and I was like, okay, I don't think I'm going to be able to eat a muffin
right
now.
That's the worst. Time to go to bed.
Yep, time to go to bed, Ray.
Hey,
I want to wrap up with this subject because I think there's some real opportunities here. In fact, I'd love to call the governor's office about it. Did you hear about Snyder taking all this water from Flint?
Oh, definitely.
He's going to drink Flint water for 30 days.
Oh, I know, for
days.
A month. Yeah, right. Yeah.
How far do you think he drove before they chucked those 5 jugs into the dumpster or whatever?
They went around the corner and pitched them.
Because
absolutely.
Somebody asked him about the, you know, hey, what's going on with the Flint water? And, you know, I guess they want an update. Huh? You know, oh, I've been drinking it for 10 days, and, you know, he's growing a third ear or something crazy. But,
yeah.
No, anyway, he must have looked too normal because, or too healthy. Because he stopped and said, I'm going to Germany, so I can't carry jugs of water to Germany. TSA won't allow that. I mean, like they called TSA. And said, the governor of Michigan would like to carry some jugs of water.
Oh, this idea that I got to make sure as I travel the globe that I'm carrying Flint water with me.
Well, he said that please. TSA won't allow it.
Oh, pfft.
So he's going to have to do it when he gets back from Germany. So he's now put off this Flint water experiment, you know, and trying to get people. They feel that the water is better. They need more people flushing it and using it, or you know, just running their faucets.
Yeah, so
and people are just drinking the. There's a big story about Flint today in the paper. What an abortion!
Bacle,
this whole thing.
Yeah,
is.
Yeah.
And it was about volunteers who were handing out like bottled water and stuff. And these people are really pissy because they feel like a lot of these Flint residents are hoarding bottled water.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I saw that guy 10 minutes ago. I just gave him 4 bottles. And he's come through the line again. He wants 6 more. And they give him 6 and he wants 8.
Yeah, I believe it.
People
yeah.
being rude and they're cranky. And it's like, I'm a volunteer. How do you think I feel, you jackass?
Oh, man. What a mess.
I know it is. This is one of the biggest abortions. So when is he going to really drink these 5 jugs of water?
No fucking way. You know what they'll do? They'll have some special water testing equipment and scientists that'll probably first go through with a fine tooth comb and then pass it to him. They won't let you know that they're doing that, but they're not going to just let him just gulp away at this water. And all of a sudden just topple over with abdominal cramps from hell and go fetal. You can't have the governor go fetal for 2 months. You know?
Well, I love the first day when they were suggesting that, you know, it's okay to drink the water again. And somebody said, you try it first.
Yeah,
you drink
right.
it. And so that's where the idea came from, I guess. And then this trip to Germany has really waylaid the whole system.
Oh, man.
Because everyone's waiting to see. Now, he's putting filters in the water. He's not just drinking it raw.
Yeah,
he's putting something in it, and then he drinks it.
Yeah.
I don't know if everyone has those filters, but, I mean, obviously, he's going to get the best crappy, shitty Flint water there is.
Boy, you're not kidding. You know, in the very beginning, too, when he said, hey, I take responsibility for this, I was thinking to myself, I wouldn't be so quick to say that. You don't want to take responsibility for all this at all, man.
He very clearly hasn't taken responsibility for it because, you know what, though? I really wonder, it's these DEQ people that screwed everyone by suggesting that, oh, it's not that big a deal, and no, they could have bought some really inexpensive filters early on and kept this from ever happening, and they just didn't feel, it's within the range, it's okay, even though people in Flint are screaming about how bad this water is.
I know it.
I wondered if those DEQ jobs were just patronage jobs. Are those, you know, are those people that donate a lot of money and so, I got to give that guy a job? I mean, I always figured DEQ would be very sincere, serious people. I mean, anybody in environmental quality would be.
You would think.
You know, somebody who really believed in it and felt it was important, but for them to blow off something like this?
I know it. I mean,
do you think those would be patronage jobs?
God, man. I mean,
you know what I mean? People he's just trying to do a favor to and give a good 80 grand, 90 grand job.
Yeah, sure.
Requires no work.
Wouldn't surprise me a bit. But, you know, I mean, the city council, all these people. I mean, who down the road sits there and says, hey, let's just flip over to the Flint water? Well, we haven't used that in a long time, you know. Well, yeah, but, you know, this Detroit water pisses us off. Just flip it over.
You know,
wait a minute. Does somebody want to look at this, test this, check it out, put some real effort into this?
You know that when they first did that, they were going to take the early profits from the money they saved by using Flint water to buy the purification equipment they needed. There was, I guess, they were some plant or something that they felt they would need or they probably should need, but they needed to operate this thing for a while to make the money to build that.
Yeah.
That part of the operation. So it was flawed from the beginning.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Well,
why there isn't more blame in Flint specifically?
That's what I don't get.
I'm not always sure why this is all the governor's fault.
That's what I don't get. Well, it's always that way. It was like that with New Orleans, you know. It's like the mayor is always blameless, the city council. It always rests with the governor generally, and then everybody kicks their ass, and the rest of it is just seems to fall by the wayside. I don't know. I've wondered that same thing. There's all kinds of people
responsible for this. Horribly flawed. And the pipes that they used.
Oh, those pipes were
corroded in no time.
If you even looked at one of those pipes, you'd be like, oh, God, uh-uh. Nobody's drinking out of this shit.
Is local water, is that something that the state DEQ comes around and tests every 10 days? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Who knows?
I mean, they could
tell me anything and I'd believe it.
Yeah. But clearly, I mean, just looking at those pipes, it's like, no, this is not going to work for human consumption. Absolutely. Anybody could tell you that.
Something I want to mention one more time is that Charlie's going to be here Friday, and we're going to record early, so it'll probably be available Friday afternoon. And I know Charlie is going to be chomping to get on the microphone because it was announced today that the feds are looking into some of this demolition activity in Detroit, which blows my mind. I don't know how many Charlie's stories you've been watching, Mike, but Charlie made the mayor pretty unhappy. In fact, he made the mayor very unhappy. In fact, I would venture to say that Mike Duggan probably does not like Charlie LaDuff right now.
Nah.
Because Charlie was doing a story about the cost per home of demolishing these abandoned homes that have been stripped and are just crap. And they used to demolish a home for about 10 grand. Suddenly it costs 13, 14, 15, 16. And why? Well, it turns out they're not always taking the lowest bidder.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, it has to do with qualifying to be a contractor who does this. It has to do with supposedly they're providing a little more topsoil than they used to do. I mean, the excuses and excuses are piled upon excuses. And Charlie kept digging away and pounding away, and it became pretty apparent that for no reason more money was being paid to demolish a house now than what it used to cost.
Yeah.
And apparently the feds are looking into it.
Ah.
That was in this morning's paper, and I knew LaDuff would be discussing that on Friday. At least I know he'll have something to say.
Oh, yeah, he'll be all over that.
Not that it would require something in today's paper for LaDuff to talk about it, but it was his story, and I thought he really did a killer job. And it was there was one point in that story that really kind of upset me. There were a couple people who are heavily involved in this in the city, you know, in acquiring the proper contractors and going over the bids and whatnot. And one of them makes like 220 grand a year.
Wow. And
the other guy made like 180 or 190. And after Charlie did this story, the mayor said something to the effect that that's the last time I let a couple of department heads in a room with a reporter. It's like, wait a second. These guys are making over a couple hundred grand and you can't leave them in a room with Charlie LaDuff. And I love Charlie. I think Charlie's fantastic, but what is it that should be so complicated? Or, you know, Charlie LaDuff isn't looking to twist anything around.
Right.
He's just trying to get some facts here. So I'm just confused as to what is so hard about leaving a couple guys who are that successful and have gotten that far and make that much money, and you can't leave them in a room with a reporter. Well, what's going on? There's got to be a little more to it than that. I said it was a weird thing to say.
Yeah, there's no question.
It was probably an excuse more than anything, but I'm sure you'll want to hear what Charlie has to say about this if you follow that story at all. You know, so shortly on the heels of contractor troubles that put a mayor in prison for 28 years, it's blowing my mind that anybody would even mess with that. And it's all in the early phases, and I'm not sure they don't get real specific about what they're investigating, but it seems to me they're looking into something.
Yeah, yeah.
More on that, and hey, man, it's been great.
Yeah, real cool, man. It was great. It was great to be back with you, Drew.
I thought it went really good.
I did, too. I thought it went great.
And I think Thursday will be even better.
Absolutely. And it was great being back together again. And Drew and Mike, together again. Very
exactly.
Cool.
Exactly. You know, we didn't get to the Captain Tennille. There's Captain Tennille.
Oh, I know. I know. Getting divorced, yeah. There was a great picture on Facebook somebody had up. It was just hilarious.
Oh, somebody put it on Facebook?
Oh, it was just great. he was saluting with his captain's hat on, his captain's coat. And he was saluting real, real aggressively. And she was standing right next to him. And you talk about a look that was like, I'm tolerating this.
Much like she tolerated us on the phone with the captain.
Yeah.
Second, the captain gets to have 5 seconds with a radio station that's worshiping him a little bit, she slams the phone down.
Yep. It took
that was funny. Tony's mad. Yeah. Tony's mad. I'll never forget that. Tony's mad.
It took a long time, but it finally came unglued, and it's over.
And we saw it that day. We knew those two were poorly matched.
Yeah, absolutely. We knew it was going to happen.
You can't keep the captain down.
No,
you can try, Tony.
No.
You can try. You can slam the phone down all you want. But the captain is the captain.
There's always another ship to sail.
So more to come. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for being with us once again, Drew and Mike. The Drew and Mike Podcast.com. See ya.